We got the record going. And the butt is fired up. Kev, I think we're ready to do a show.
Oh, baby. Let me see. Check the old mic ski.
Hey, you sound good.
All right.
Oh, you sound amazing.
Oh, baby. I got to keep this cold around.
Yeah, you sound a little sexified.
That's right. There's a lot of sex happening.
Hopefully not with just the two of us.
No, definitely not.
You want to give us an intro?
No.
Please give us an intro. Come on, give me something.
All right, hold on.
We got some stuff to cover tonight.
Myron Reed. Does he still go by Hot Fire? Wasn't that his thing?
Hot Garbage.
No, it's definitely not Hot Garbage.
Well, they're in Injustice.
They're in Injustice. I thought he was Hot Fire.
Well, he's been on fire. His fucker's been a championship.
Matt has notes. I got to read his notes.
All right, well, while you're...
Oh, he is Hot Fire. I was right. Okay. I did read his notes earlier, just not that part. All right.
Here we go. You want to do it or...
No, you do it.
All right. The fallout from Survivor Series and War Games. We've got updates on Jim Cornette, maybe. And we're joined by the new MLW middleweight champion, Myron Reed, tonight.
Who did not beat Davey Boy Smith Jr.
No, he did not.
He beat Teddy Hart.
Tonight on the Shining Wizards.
Oh, baby.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rantium Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Hey, I got this mark coming up to me when I'm trying to leave this place. I've made God knows how much money off of these fat losers on merch money, on my fee. And right now you are listening to just another reason why I get paid as this guy hands me a 50. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you and you know it. And you are listening to the Shining Wizards podcast, unfortunately.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, and I...
Got it there!
What's up, everybody? It's the Shining Wizards, and we're back in studio.
Ah, thank you, MJF, for that nice introduction there.
Yeah, I guess he could be nice when he wants to be.
He wasn't very nice.
Well, you had to slip him a 50, too.
Well, yeah, he made me. He threatened me with physical violence.
I'm sorry you had to do that.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are kicking off year number 9 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and we are doing it...
Without Matt!
Yes, of course. Rolling in my two-man army. I really hate that fucking music, by the way.
That sounded pretty nice. Sounded like I was on, like, a resort.
Well, we just lost GarageBand, so if we cut out folks listening to us live, just hang with us. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh. Wait, so are we stopping?
No, I don't... Oh, you know what? Maybe that was from the last time it crashed. Dude, I don't know what it is, but I guess my laptop is like 8 years older now.
AIDS?
Could be.
Laptop AIDS?
Could be. I don't even know where the button is, Kevin.
To cure it? There's a button to cure laptop AIDS?
You have AIDS.
No, this is the diagnosis.
You have AIDS.
Oh, that's right. Sucks. Man, sorry.
No, it looks like we're good. And the reason why I'm in a little bit of a panic is because I don't want there to be any technical issues because we have the brand new MLW middleweight champion, Mr. Myron Reed, representing Injustice, calling us later tonight.
That's right.
And I don't want to fuck that one up, but I already did fuck something up because it's wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling.
We had a hell of a week last week.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby, did we?
Oh, baby, indeed. You know
oh,
what?
Baby, indeed.
We talked about the failures of the live show from Crossroads. We talked about...
Oh, yeah. Wow. Why did we do that?
We talked about... Well...
The night's a little foggy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, you were definitely foggy most of the night.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we got one of our most infamous drops for the show.
In your face.
Oh, that night.
That's from
that night.
Oh, that
night wasn't foggy.
A little bit. You were feeling no pain.
At Crossroads? No, Egan's, I was definitely hammered.
Well, all right. Fair enough. You were a little worse at Egan's.
Crossroads, I still had to do a comedy show.
And was that the night that Mick Foley got pissed at you?
No.
No, Mick didn't do time that night. Mick did time the next time.
No, that was just a bunch of us amateurs.
Yes. It was rough. Ruffski.
Yeah, a little rough.
And the fifth anniversary show?
Oh,
was it the
rough,
fifth?
Just yeah, the way your mother likes it.
That was Trebek.
No, your mother's a whore.
I feel terrible for him. That poor guy. The shit he's going through now. Yeah. Yikes. Way to bring the show down, Kev.
No, I was. You did it. I was just doing all rough, just the way your mother likes it. That's right.
In her hiney.
And the butt.
Ooh, the butt. The butt's actually running fine.
So all right, we're live on the Rant EM radio.
Yes, we are broadcasting live. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in last week, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, no problem. Just, you know, nice
I'm to glad look. I glad I could listen. I'm a big supporter of the show.
I'm thanking the general public.
Oh, the general
listening.
You.
Yes, the general.
Thank you. Someone thought that was a dish on a Chinese food menu. General use chicken.
General use chicken. Wow.
General use.
The fifth anniversary show wasn't so hot either, but I think we more than made up for the perils of the first two live shows.
Yeah, man.
And then some.
I thought that last week couldn't have gone better.
It was great. The crowd was hot. We kept everything moving. The guests were off the chart amazing.
Right. Dave LaGreca was on a little bit of a rollski.
He is a funny guy.
Underrated. See, the first couple times he was on the show, just it was all straight, legit wrestling talk, couple jokes here and there. But this past week, oh, baby, he was rip-roaring and hollering and having a good time.
He was fired up. It was amazing.
He helped us because if it wasn't for him, we would have talked about Royal Rumble 1992 for 2 hours.
Yeah, for 15 minutes anyway. But, yeah, I mean, look. Yeah, it was our eighth anniversary show.
But we never like to do that.
And people aren't going to sit there and go like, well, why are these fuckers talking about things that they did, you know, in the past?
Yeah, that we weren't here for.
And when we talked about it, we decided we were just going to do our show.
Just a regular show.
Be how we are.
That's right.
Just invite people out to come join us and celebrate.
That's it.
And we talked about it for a little bit. And Dave was a bit of a prick. He made fun of you. He made fun of me. He ripped on Matt. It was awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for the triple XL shirt, by the way, Dave. I appreciate the gesture. You didn't have to bring anything.
But if you're going to come.
If you're going to, like, the smallest shirt he had was XL.
Which is fine for me and Matt.
Yeah. And I got stuck with the triple X.
Well, you need a bed sheet. Yeah, you're good to go.
Jesus. I have used T-shirts as pillowcases before.
Well, there you go.
So it's
but this could be like a concert shirt, like something you could hang on the wall, you know? Put it in a frame, maybe. I'm a Dave LaGreca guy on your wall. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe if he had signed it.
That's the other thing. We forgot to get the poster signed by the guests. We had a bunch of good ideas that when you're in the thick of it, you just kind of forget about.
Yeah, we didn't do that.
No.
We had a lot of good stuff that we just didn't do.
You know what, though? It was an awesome show. I had a great time. Fala was funny as shit.
Oh, Fala was killing it.
Is LSG still mad at you?
Why was he mad at me?
Because you started the whole hashtag LSJizz.
Oh, yeah. Wow, look at that.
Oh, you forgot about the bad times.
I did. Forgot about that one.
And Crowbar crushed.
Ah, Crowbar's my new favorite person.
He was, I told you guys,
I never hated the guy.
No, I didn't say you did, but to interview him as the closer, that was it. Bret Hart made an appearance,
thanks to
J. George.
That's right. That was huge.
And you fuckers sang that awful song that I hate, and I will never mention its name again.
What song was that?
You know, never. Never, ever, ever,
so
ever.
So you're lucky I don't remember what it was.
So overall, amazing night. The
food
disappeared. The beer was great. Thanks again to Ryan and Kate for everything they did for us.
Yeah.
Who are the bartenders? It was Ethan and what was the other fella's name?
Oh, fuck if I know.
I know. I forget.
Ethan, I just know because I know him outside of.
I've known him forever.
Dude, it's so weird. Everywhere I go, I know somebody.
Well, you're Kevin Joseph Garifo.
That's a good point.
You're going to be the fucking mayor of West Orange someday.
We'll see about that.
You are, dude. It's in your wheelhouse.
That's right there. Ethan and.
It's yours.
I want to say
taking.
Like Barrett.
Barrett, I think that was it.
Was it Barrett?
Yeah, it was Bad Beer Barrett.
Bad Beer? No, they had great beer at the elementary.
Yeah, but if Barrett didn't like it, he poured you a bad one. He went to that funny tap on the end.
That's right.
The one that was making the cum bubbles.
The one that
bucket.
Was a triangle.
The one that says, do not use.
Yeah. It said, toxic gas.
We got to meet the locals before we started broadcasting.
That was fun. That was a trip.
That was pretty awesome.
And they didn't stay.
We had a nice turnout. I'm disappointed a couple people didn't show up that said they were going to.
I mean, would it have killed Kratzo to fly in from Austria?
Yeah, Kratzo, get on that shit.
Would it have killed,
time,
you know, Prince of Pro to come from parts unknown, wherever he's from?
Is that where he's from, parts unknown?
I think he's from parts unknown.
I don't know.
Prince of parts unknown.
But I think we had a hell of a turnout.
I enjoyed it.
And you know what? You go back and listen to it, the crowd noise makes it. Like, when you're listening to the show and you hear people cheering and laughing and stuff, it's just the whole experience was amazing.
I haven't listened yet.
What? You're never going to listen. You're not.
I'm weird like that.
I know, but still, even I had to go back and listen to it.
I'll go back and listen, probably.
I went through, there were just a couple things that I had to boost from the audio side, but otherwise, it was perfect. Couldn't have asked for a better show.
Yeah.
Couldn't have asked for better guests, better company. Thank you all for coming out. Thanks to all of you for tuning in and listening.
Big Rich McDonald. Anthony
Big
Bowens.
Yeah. Tommy Fierro showed up.
And we don't even know if he got home yet.
Yeah, it's true. Sorry. Excuse me. Oof.
What the fuck was that?
What, the burp?
Yeah.
I had Rancher onion rings. They're onion rings with jack cheese, ranch dressing, and bacon. Not bacon bits, like real pieces of bacon.
All right.
Amazing.
Okay.
Big props to the people at Jim Dandy's in Rutherford because they make awesome rancho.
All right, so it was like rancho fries, but onion rings instead.
Yes. Oh, man, they're so good.
I can get on board with that.
And you know what else is good? Tomorrow, I'll put them in the toaster oven, the leftovers, they'll come out just as good.
So you're going to go through this whole process again?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right.
I got to get the intestines flowing because Thursday's turkey day.
Yeah, so you're gonna prep for Turkey Day with some leftover rancho fries?
Just like I prep every other day.
Atta boy.
If I always had rancho fries in the ring, it'd be rancho fry Tuesday every day.
Rancho fries in the ring.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. It's the name of the show.
You know what? No, we got our name of the show.
Oh, what?
Thanks to Stupid Matt.
Job Squaff.
What an asshole.
I wouldn't have harped on it if squaff wasn't such a funny sounding word.
Squaff is like a city name, I think, in England somewhere.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Google it while I'm talking. One thing I did regret.
You think it's like squab, which is like.
No, it's squaff.
I think it's like a seafood. I think it's like a calamari or something.
No, squaff came up. They called the town like Big Squaff or some shit like that. The one thing I did regret is not having a soundboard.
We did have a soundboard.
No, Matt had the soundboard. I had nothing because I was stuck doing like the main board with
he
the audio.
He did a good job, I think, with it?
Nah.
What? What?
Because I'm the expert at the soundboard.
Well, let us know. How do you? Yeah, but see, Tony, here's the thing. I hate to burst your bubble here.
I'm amazing, Kevin. You don't have to
listen,
say
you're
it
a soundboard expert. I get it. But sometimes you have a heavy soundboard finger. when it's not necessary. Like the intro, there were 8 drops before we even got to the music.
I had to get it in. I feel like last week we disappointed the people that were there live by playing the wrong file. I felt bad for Kate.
The wrong follow?
Yes, the wrong follow.
I thought we had the right follow. That wasn't follow?
No. Stop.
I was good.
You're confusing me.
Follow.
You were on fire last week. This week you're kind of...
Oh, dude, I'm great. I'm going to chug this white
claw. The follow joke was bad. I'm going to call a spade and follow joke was bad.
Follow bad?
Yes. Follow down, go boom bad.
Boom!
See, that was a perfect punch in.
See,
you
you're good. Yeah, but then you either sit back, and again, I'm not trying to say it, but when you do, there you go. Oof. Exactly.
Yeah, and
see, this is what happens. Now you're going to play like 30 different things. Which is great, because
I didn't get to play Matt's burp at all during the live show.
Play it again.
It doesn't
sound like him.
No, it doesn't.
Like, where did that voice come from?
And
what are you saying, Wolf?
I was saying, I forget how it came up, but I said, and he's wrestling Airwolf. It was somebody making their debut. And I go, Airwolf, and in the middle of Wolf, I get this.
I'm
remembering the conversation.
Yeah. I was like, Airwolf?
Comes up out of nowhere. We have no idea what it is.
He had a few gems that episode, too, but that was the best one.
What the fuck was that? Just in the middle of your talking.
Holy Christ.
It's all the context of it is so much better than the actual drop. Like I'm seeing like the chairs turned around. Matt's not here, but I'm seeing him sitting there every time you play that drop. I'm seeing it over and over again in my head. I'm crying.
All right.
So yeah, thanks to Elementary, Ryan. Thanks to Kate the Great. Everyone that showed up.
Yes, elementary.com, ondeckic.com. Make sure you take care of those guys.
Barrett, the bartender.
Yeah, everything was awesome. Everything was cool because they were all part of the team. Food was great, beer was great, people were great. Great, great, great.
Made a stop. Me and Big Rich went out after.
Yeah, tore it up.
Yeah, that was a little.
No wonder you were texting us all lovey-dovey after the show.
Yeah, that's probably why. That's 100% why.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you under the
bus.
No,
I don't care. Listen, I deserve it.
No, it was fine, dude. I was feeling good on the ride home. It was awesome being that amped up.
Dude, they took great care of us there.
They really did. They really did. I should have drank more.
You were.
Well, I didn't want. Yeah, of course.
So that's why.
Of course. I try to limit myself.
We could have Uber pooled.
Yeah. And then I'd have to go back there and get the car anyway.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is what it is. Kevin, some shit happened this weekend that I'm not happy about.
I'll tell you what happened that you should be happy about.
What's that?
Pro Wrestling Tees Black Friday sale.
Fuck yeah! Do you know what the code is?
There's no code. There's no coupon.
There's no coupon!
There is no coupon code. Just go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Check out a Fake News Tony shirt, an Uncle Creepy Matt shirt, a Wolfpack Kevin shirt, all the great designs. I'm loving. I know it's been there for a while. But then what you did to the old vintage logo shirt, like SW.
Oh, the Redux?
The Redux.
Yeah. It's a much better like color quality. Like it's even got the logo underneath and everything.
Love
the,
that shirt.
So yeah, it's awesome.
That's a must buy, I think. If
they
you're
got
a fan,
them fitted. They got them ladies. They got them long sleeves.
Soft style. SAWFT soft.
That is recommended. I was just like the regulars. I'm in all in on the softs now. They're so nice.
There it is.
I wore the Tony Kevin Matt shirt during the show.
Oh, you did?
That's yeah.
Right. I put myself over and just wore my shirt.
Well, no, that's fine. I had five shirts to choose from in my bag.
That's right. You had like a wardrobe like you were going to like Cancun for like a
week. This is how great Kevin and Matt are. When I showed up, I was expecting like, okay, we got to plug everything in. We got to get the mic set up, everything.
Dude, I was like a deer in headlights.
But 90% of the setup was done. All I had to do was literally just plug my laptop into the board and just get all the software going. And the headphones. Everything else was done. Mics were up. The board was up. The speakers were up. The volume levels were great. It was beautiful. So I didn't have to do shit. I hung out for 2.5 hours.
Did I take the stands back, the mic stands?
Rich did.
Okay.
Yeah, relax. Everybody got their stuff.
I love how it takes me like a week later to think about what happened to the stand.
Do we want to talk about something short before Myron Reed calls in? We got about 10, 15 minutes. Or do we want to get into...
Tony, I will talk about whatever you want to talk about.
You want to talk about the rankings in AEW?
I do not want to talk about the rankings in AEW because I think I made my opinion very clear on these at our live show.
Well, all right. You know what? Let's get into AEW for next week.
I'll talk about AEW, baby.
We talked about a little bit the live show, I think, right? So we know the Scorpio Sky is going to be challenging Chris Jericho tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow, fucking Thanksgiving is Thursday, dude. Where did November go?
I don't know. This shit's flying. Dude, do turkeys fly?
No, they don't.
They don't.
Check out the WKRP in Cincinnati episode where they did the turkey drop.
Was that you that posted that?
No, I didn't, but it's legendary. It's such a great moment in television.
You should just watch WKRP in Cincinnati anyway.
You want it? We'll turn it off. I'll tell Myron to call us next week.
That's right. Actually, could you put the Devil's Game on? That'd be great.
Yeah, sure. And when we take our break, I'll put it on. What time's it come on?
I'm totally kidding. Matt will kill me if you have
to. That's why I want to put it on. I want him to start getting,
I'll start getting
nasty texts. So what else is going on? Oh, the Diamond,
Dallas Page ring, or
the Dynamite Diamond ring is actually DDP is going to be there to present it.
That's pretty wild.
Hangman Page and MJF, friend of the show, MJF.
Friend of the show, nope. Diamond Dallas Page.
True. Yeah. Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page.
That's right.
Boom! Or whatever. Bang.
Fuck. Adam Cole's boom.
Bay. We'll talk about him later. Yeah, so they were the two finalists in the Dynamite Dozen, easy for me to say, Battle Royal last week. So there you go, the Diamond Ring.
Did you watch that? Were you surprised how big of a pop Billy Gunn got and how over he was? He got like some of the most sustained reactions throughout the entire match.
Do you think it's weird that they stuck him in there? Like,
well, no, he works there. You need a 12th guy, and I wasn't. I mean, I get it. You'd probably see him get a pop when he comes out, but he was like. He was in, like, the final four.
Wait a minute. I thought he was fired from WWE for using performance-enhancing drugs while he was bodybuilding.
Yeah, he was in, like, a competition.
So I take it he's not bodybuilding anymore.
Or AEW just doesn't drug test.
Yeah, but you said he's got a big belly now, no?
I didn't say he's got a big belly.
Oh, I thought you did. What am I thinking of?
I have no idea where Big Belly came from.
I don't know.
He got a big pop. He got a big reaction.
I thought you said belly for some reason.
Maybe I talked to you fast.
No, you really didn't. It's me. I'm getting old. I'm not fucking.
No, he looks in tremendous shape.
All right. Well, there you go.
But he got sustained reactions. Everything he did got a reaction from an AEW crowd, which, like, I'm still trying to figure them out, man. Like, what they're there for. Like, I know they love the indie darlings, so that would seem like that a guy like Billy Gunn might not get a reaction. Like, they might not care to see the legends and all that, but they loved them.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird like that because certain legends will just get that reaction, you know.
And I think maybe they know that he works there, so maybe that's part of it.
I think, honestly, if Jerry Lynn ever decided to make an appearance like that.
Oh, he'd blow the roof off the place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's just weird. Like, there's really kind of no rhyme or reason for it. You know, like, Sergeant Slaughter comes out. Everyone's like, yay, Sarge. Everybody gives him a nice, you know, a nice cheer,
that's
whatever.
It. Sergeant Slaughter never, unfortunately, because he is a legend. He's an absolute legend. He never got, like, the major pops.
But I think it's also the fact that Sarge was on, like, every other week for a long time.
And you know when they're doing, like, these, like, remember when, like, Heath Slater was, like.
Yeah.
You know Sergeant Slaughter is going to be one of them.
Well, of course. And Ted DiBiase is going to come out as well.
Ted DiBiase.
That's right. Man.
I did like the fact that Matt put that in the opener of the show.
Dude, that open was so good.
I know.
So kudos to Matt for putting that together.
Absolutely.
It was perfect.
Yeah, he's a pretty talented fucker.
The order was perfect. Ending with Jericho was perfect. Like, going back and forth from, like, you know, Kenny Omega, then, like, Sonny, and then, like, all the stuff was, actually, you know what's funny is that on my, like, memories on this day in Facebook, there was, like, a post from Sonny posting on my wall, taking Skype reservations.
Yes.
Now, call me Kevin, this and that.
She said, call me Kevin?
Yeah, I was like, no, you're Tammy. I'm not calling you Kevin. That'd be weird.
Oh, boo. Yeah. You're such a flirt. If you want to flirt with Kevin, get him on Skype.
That's right.
At Big Hog Kevin.
Maybe I should start doing that.
You should. I think you'd make some money.
Maybe I should start Skyping with people.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That's right. I'm what, you know, what they know in the business as a social media influencer, Tony.
Well, there you go.
You know, you throw your t-shirt on me, put it on Instagram, you're looking at 36 likes easily.
Oh, definitely. No. I'd say 40.
Oh.
I think you got a little more cash after that.
That's right.
After that show last week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, someone's got to be scamming me on Facebook. My Facebook, I got loaded with friend requests. Did you?
No, but here, you brought up Facebook. For some reason, everything that's getting posted by Dave LaGreca has Matt tagged in.
Oh, my God, that's so great.
I have no idea why.
The picture of him and Billy Corgan, who who looks nothing like Matt.
There was another one after that, too. I forget who it was. And I'm just like, dude, I asked him, I'm like, do you think something's going on where, like, somebody's tagging you as a goof? He's like, I have no idea, but I'm going to take it and just keep going with it.
Matt Bowman was tagged. As Billy Corgan.
That's fucking amazing. Dude, so amazing.
He's into the fire now, man.
So, Scorpio Sky against Jericho. We got Hangman Page and MJF. I thought I read somewhere that Kenny Omega and Pac are going to be wrestling.
Yeah, again, yeah.
On this week's show.
On, yeah.
That's pretty stacked.
It's a good show. The matches are always good. The card's always stacked. Are you worried that we're seeing the same people every week?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you about, because it does seem like we're getting, you know, the same. Like, look, a couple weeks ago they had QT Marshall teaming up with the Best Friends.
No, the Beaver Boys.
The Beaver Boys. Okay, that was it.
Shout out to Alex Reynolds and John Silver.
Yeah. So, I mean, are they just going to keep dropping these guys in, or are they part of the roster now?
Well, they're on the roster page.
Okay, so they are part of
I don't
the,
know if they're signed to contracts.
Well, I know QT Marshall, and it's funny because
he works behind the scenes there.
He's
too.
A trainer.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was QT Marshall for so long. And what? That's what Matt used to say. But then again, look who I'm taking pronunciation advice from.
Yeah, I always thought it was QT Marshall.
No, I always thought it was Marshall. I thought I got it from Matt. I'm not sure why.
Maybe you did.
I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid. I don't know. That's two for two tonight in the stupidity department.
No, it's fine. It's just I want them because with this and Dark, it's like it's literally this. Other than, I mean, you had your Chris Statlander from last week, your Big Swole. I think tonight on Dark, Big Swole is wrestling Shauna, who we've seen before.
Shauna.
I'm just waiting for them to expand. And don't get me wrong, the talent that they have now is phenomenal. It's good.
Yeah.
That's a great roster.
Yeah.
But, like, just like, I mean, I guess it's the same thing everywhere. Raw, we're seeing the same people every week, I guess. I mean, I guess that's part. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's your roster. That's your roster.
I don't know. Just. Yeah, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe
like,
you're right.
Like, if that's their. Like, every week we see the same people on Raw, I guess it's really no different.
But, I mean, but AEW still has that new baby smell, that new car smell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're waiting.
When does it wear off and when does the other shoe drop? And it's like, all right, enough with the Kenny Omega and Pac. Enough with the Moxley and Janela. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
How many times can we see Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc staple gun each other? You know?
Yeah, I see. Okay, so there's the point, I guess, that I was trying. And every time they tease that someone's making a big announcement, I get all souped and hopped up like it's something outside the projection of a storyline.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like a real thing, like someone's coming in or this is big. Like, we got a sponsor that's going to actually pay us money so we can bring in more people. Like, but then it this is on me. Like, when it comes in that it's within the compass of a storyline, I get disappointed. Like, when Cody Rhodes teased yet a big announcement and it was – I'm looking at Cody Rhodes like the executive of AEW, not the wrestler saying I'll never challenge for the title again.
See, that's the thing, though, because Cody Rhodes does have that backstage, you know, that office, and everybody knows he does.
Yeah.
So when you hear that, like, look, Billy Corgan had a big announcement last week. So it's like, you know, it's going to be something huge behind the scenes, which it was, you know.
Was it the paper? No, what was it?
It's, oh, God.
I watched Power last week. I don't.
It's NWA Start the Fire, I think it's called. It's going to be a show where they're bringing in, like, guys that want a shot at the NWA roster.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, so it's like a whole nother show that they're doing. But it's going to be, like, you'll probably see, like, guys, like, you know, like local guys, like WrestlePro guys or, like, you know, like PWG guys. I mean, I'm talking off the top of my head.
Yeah, just throwing out names. Like, but guys, CZW guys.
Yeah, like guys that are, like, looking for an opportunity to work for the NWA. It's going to be their chance. I guess kind of like, what does CZW do? They have that show that they do.
I don't think they do that anymore. The Dojo?
Yes, the Dojo
Shows. Dojo Wars?
Or even like Warriors used to do like the show on YouTube where like they would put on a match, like guys just working out together for 20 minutes or 15 minutes.
I don't watch something guys like work that. Out, Tony.
Huh?
I don't watch guys work out.
Why not? It's awesome.
All right. We see how you spend your time outside of outside
look,
of
man,
this.
I am a proponent of the old school wrestling. I like the hold workings. I like the joint. You know what? There was a whole lot of joint manipulations, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, but I mean, just going back to like when Jericho said he had a monumental announcement, and even off the top of my head, it's we're a week removed from it. I don't even really remember what it was, but it wasn't. It was just something to do with the story of what he was doing.
Yeah, announcements. Everything's going to change the world. This is going to change the wrestling landscape forever, people.
Hey, as long as they keep doing above 500,000 viewers, I think people will be happy. And I just hope that they...
Yeah, we talked about it briefly during the live show, but NXT won the week last week.
Right.
But they also had a loaded NXT show on Wednesday.
And it was a lead into a pay-per-view.
A pay-per-view where NXT was prominently featured.
Right.
We'll get into all that later. I'm just wondering if they're going to sustain now that, you know, now that Survivor Series is over.
I think they'll get one. They'll have a good night tomorrow night because it's usually after a pay-per-view. You usually you see a bump either like before or after. You usually see like a bump or sustaining. But if that's, I mean, that's the last, there's no more crossover now. Remember, we talked about that, too.
So, yeah, so
there's no more crossover.
So all this is just going to disappear, and we're supposed to forget that it happened until maybe January.
I mean, if I'm NXT, I brag about it on
Wednesday.
Oh, of
course. Yeah. Of course. So here's your top fives. I got to do it.
What?
For AEW. Listen, I don't even know who moved up or who moved down, but here we go. So Pac, the Bastard Pac, is still number one in the rankings.
So he's the number one contender?
Yes.
How have they not announced the match with him and Jericho yet then?
Because Scorpio Sky pinned Jericho, so Scorpio Sky's getting that shot. And I guess that's how it's going to be. But in the meantime,
oh, baby.
Joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is one of the members of Injustice that you can see every week on MLW Fusion, on BN Sports, and on YouTube. And he is the current and brand new MLW World's Middleweight Champion, Mr. Injustice's own, Mr. Myron Reed. Myron, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Not too bad, okay. Man. Not too bad. Congratulations are in order, champ. How does it feel to have some gold finally in the MLW?
Man, it feels great. I feel like I just got my new chain. Like, it's lit. Like, it's dope.
Now, I got to jump in to this with you right off the bat is my first question. We've been following MLW for a while now. We know the whole Injustice rap. We know what you guys stand for, that you guys weren't getting a fair shake, that you guys were standing up for your rights against the referees that were trying to hold you back. Do you feel now that the Injustice movement has paid off and there's no reason to go any further with it now that you're holding gold? Maybe it's looking better for Injustice at this point?
I look at it like if we're like an NBA team, like we won, like we made it to the playoffs finally, but we haven't won the championship yet. The championship. Like we want to win all the belts. We want to take over. Like we want our names to be on all the posters, our pictures to be on all the posters. Until that happens, that's when we'll calm down. But right now, we're just getting started.
So do you look at this? Do you look at this title win for you as more as a title win, not necessarily just for you, but for Kodo and for Oliver as well? Is this a big united win for the three of you?
Yeah, we won the belt. I won, but we won. That makes any sense. Yeah. And when they win something, we won. You know, it's a group thing. It's gang gang.
Okay. The other thing I have to ask you about, we got to ask you about the elephant in the room. Is Injustice or has Injustice anything to do with what happened with Contra getting involved in that match?
Man, we just went out there and did what we were supposed to do, and, you know, that's win. Like, we don't know too much about them. We don't really honestly care too much about them, you know. We appreciate them coming out if that's what it is, but, you know, we could have won that on our own.
Fair enough. I like the answer.
So getting in deeper into what MLW has become, clearly everyone knew they were – they existed, kind of went away, came back. MLW is now blowing up all over the place. Guys like you, the Von Erichs, and Tom Lawler re-signing. How integral is Injustice into the state of what MLW has become, and where do you see the future of MLW going?
I honestly, you know, with Injustice there, be honest, man, I see it blowing up even more worldwide. Like, you know, Kodo, Myron, Jordan, like, that's, like, literally all they need, honestly. But, I mean, to be honest, though, like, it's awesome. Like, we're doing great. We're doing great things. And it's cool to have our name in the shuffle of, you know, of the top talent there. You know, even though we're trying to push to be the top talent, you know, not one of the top talents.
And a guy that you defeated for the title, Teddy Hart, I mean, his name is, you know, synonymous with the greats, you know, that may never have gotten maybe a little injustice towards him a little bit. He never got that true shot, but he's still a name in the business that everyone has high regard for. What was it like taking that championship away?
No.
Listen,
no,
cut
my phone card. I don't care.
cut me off and tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, man, his last name's Hart, man. That man is opportunities have been thrown in his face. Forget Teddy Hart.
Okay, so I guess my question makes no sense now. How did it feel taking the championship away from a guy like Teddy Hart?
It felt great. You know, you know those big shots that think they like are too good for everything, and you know, you get there and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna dethrone this guy. Like, and I did that, you know. So
I just don't like the fact that he wears pajamas. I can't get past that. The guy's got all the talent in the world.
If you want to dress for bed, I'm gonna put him to bed, you know?
Ah! Excellent. That's a line of the night right there.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. You have not, I mean, you've been in wrestling about 3-4 years now, but I mean, you're so young, dude. You're like 22, 23 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and I follow you guys. I'm a big fan of Injustice. You guys are nuts. When they put you in the ring with guys like Gringo Loco and Airwolf and a lot of the luchadors, man, you guys are just tearing it up all over the place. But back over the summer, there was a scary moment where Kato wound up being on the top of that big Tower of Terror, and he wound up getting knocked out. Is that something that you guys worry about with all the high risk stuff? Because for a while, it looked like he was messed up really bad in the ring.
It's a worry all the time, but it's something that you pretty much have to overcome going out there, because you know you can't just sit there and be in front of a crowd and be scared. You know, I don't want to be scared. I don't know if I'm getting knocked out, but you know. So when you go out there, you're just all right, I got to suck it all up and try and not think about that, you know. But as you get better and more experienced, you find different ways to protect yourself even more. So, you know, if something scary like that happens, it's not as scary or as worse as the situation could be or whatever. So, I mean, we were lucky that he was all right, you know. It was just a knockout and not a concussion or anything like that.
Is MLW a nurturing environment to the younger performers in terms of, we know, WWE obviously has, the Performance Center and this and that. When you guys all get together for shows, is there a lot of talking? Is there a lot of advice being doled out from, maybe someone like Dr. Tom or some of these guys who have been around the business a bit longer than some of the younger guys?
Oh yeah, pretty much all the OGs in the locker room are helping the younger talent out. They want everyone to thrive and be successful. Guys like Low Key, he's getting in the ring, rolling around with people. He's a big influence on MLW and a true locker room leader or whatever. He's great. And there's other guys of course that they bring in that'll help out or whatnot. But he's one of the main guys for me and for us. You know, who helps out more so locker room leaders.
Yeah, and everyone talks about how the landscape of professional wrestling is so good now and so plentiful with a lot of different places to work. What do you attribute? How is MLW staying so relevant in this landscape of ever changing, ever evolving, and more of these companies just showing up and getting breaks? What is MLW doing right?
Well, MLW is bringing different talent, a different ball game to the party, pretty much. We're different, I feel than most companies. We have mostly different people for 80% of our roster is completely different than NXT or AEW and Honor. So, I guess people just want to see – people love – I think wrestling's bigger now, and people love wrestling, and they want to watch everything and see everyone that they like. So, if their favorite's on MLW or Ring of Honor or AEW, they're going to watch all three of them, you know? That's the awesome thing about it now.
You're from Louisville, Kentucky, so obviously you probably grew up maybe being a fan of Jim Cornette. You've had maybe a little bit of a relationship with Jim Cornette, if I'm reading right.
I'm gonna keep it a buck. I don't really know Jim. I don't really care for Jim. I guess he's seen me wrestle. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard not to it's kind of hard to deny it, actually. How good Myron Reed is. So, I don't blame him for, one thing he did help me out with was when he called me terribly skinny, and I was oh, this guy messed up. I gotta definitely start hitting the weights harder and eat more. But no, other than that, I don't really know too much about Jim besides his wrestling stuff. I've never really been a huge fan of him.
Ah, all right.
I know. I think it was.
Hey, I surprised you with that one, though.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it was last week during the Fusion episode where you gave a shout out to ACH.
Yeah.
Do you have any opinions on that? I mean, when you first heard what went down with him, what were your thoughts? Have your thoughts changed on it at all subsequently, him getting his release and being allowed to, be out on his own again or anything?
Well, ACH or Albert was he's a mentor, like a bigger brother when he was on the indie scene for me, and even when he went to WWE. So, I also wanted to make sure I was supporting him no matter what. But just like the whole situation, like, I don't really know it 1,000%, so I can't speak for something that hasn't really happened, but I do know I support the movement. And I do know that that does go on in wrestling, I feel like. And, yeah, I stand for it, and I stand behind them. So I'm glad to see him get his release.
How do you feel about Jim Cornette being released by the NWA last week, or, you know, leaving, or however you want to put it? You know, Jim says that he wound up quitting over his conversation with Dave. Dave said that they split ways. But overall, does something like that, you know, lead to, like, you know, against the movement? Or do you think it's just something that was just said in passing?
And as a follow-up, does that kind of situation filter into other companies? Is it something that you guys are talking about amongst the roster of MLW, because obviously Cornette was there, went to NWA, and of course this happened, and leaving to many people's, you know, deservedly so, opinion. Does that kind of stuff filter into other people's locker rooms?
As, like, since the situation has happened in all the locker rooms I've been in, I've maybe heard, like, small talk about it, but, like, not too much, so everyone's just trying to kill it and do what they do. Like, I heard about it on the internet or whatever, and I think, I don't know. I haven't really looked into it too much. I try to not, like, worry about those situations and, like, stay in my own lane. But, you know, I feel like if whatever he said or whatever he did that's, you know, that's racist or whatever it may be, you know, like, I hope he learns from it. I mean, and, you know, I don't think he should be on TV if he, you know, if he don't know how to control his.
That's a great point.
What he says. Yeah.
No, fair enough. But I mean, I'm not defending what Cornette said at all. But, you know, back in the 80s, they, you know, or you know, when Cornette came up, it was sort of accepted, not accepted at that point. But I mean, you know, I would think you would agree with me, especially in this day and age.
Yeah,
that stuff just doesn't fly anymore.
Yeah. So he was just.
Okay. Yeah. We agree on something. I like it.
We agree on a lot of things.
It is what it is. Like, in that situation, I can't really, like I said, I can't really speak on it because, I mean, I, like, watched a little clip and, like, I caught it, but I didn't really catch it. And then, like, people were talking about it, and I was like, you know, I'm not really going to focus too much on this situation because I'm just trying to better myself, you know?
That's right. Doing too many big things. Hot fire.
Agreed. Yeah. Absolutely.
Doing too many big things to worry about what's going on somewhere else that has nothing to do with you.
I mentioned earlier, man, like, you're a young guy yet, and you've got a world of wrestling experience. Like, I'm just going over, like, you know, your match history, where you've worked, who you've worked. It's literally of who's who, of who's coming up right now. But I really want to know, what do you do outside of wrestling?
That's a good question.
When the lights aren't on and, you know, like, you don't have to worry about being injusticed or whatever, you know, what does Myron Reed like to do? Like, what are you all about?
Besides, you know, family, taking care of my baby, more so just video games, editing videos, just trying to promote the brand more, you know, figuring out different ways to, you know, get my name out there, regardless if it's a match or a match highlight or whatever it may be. I like to rap, you know, that's another thing. But other than that, you know, it's just on the road life.
All right. So you mentioned video editing and rap. Do you see those as potential assets for you to improve or to maybe take roles other than obviously professional wrestling is number one, but do other people see those as assets in you?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, I've heard, you know, but, like, you know, when you're focused on, like, one thing, like, solely, like, the other things are just, like, hobbies, you know, like, just things that, like, I'll release just because, like, I want my fans to know a little more about Myron Reed, you know. I'm not just High Fire the wrestler, you know. I have a life as well, you know. So I just want them to know that as well.
So what's your video game poison? What do you like to play?
For me, I'm a big NBA 2K20 guy.
Nice.
I love NBA 2K20.
Yeah.
There you go. Not into the Fortnites or the PUBGs or anything like that.
What is that called?
Honest, I can see myself getting really good at it, but I just haven't had enough time to really like sway onto other video games, you know. And I've always been a basketball fan, so like, you know, I'm like, all right, so this is what I always get. So it's a tradition. I'm going to get this again.
So I haven't been I used to play a lot of basketball games too, but when I was growing up, there were the NBA Lives, like NBA Live 95, NBA Live 96. And then all of a sudden, now 2K, like 2K's.
Yeah, 2K took that over.
2K took that over, and like, yeah. I guess for like, I think Dreamcast, I think I still had it. Allen Iverson was on the, who's your team? Let's go through the sports. Who's your basketball team? Now I just want to talk to the guy.
Well, honestly, now I think my favorite team is probably the Memphis Grizzlies.
Wow,
John Morant is dope, dude.
Yeah, I did not see that. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Memphis out there. Yeah, I did not see that coming. I'm a Bulls fan. We haven't been relevant since the 90s, so it's tough.
Levine's good, though. I like Levine.
Yeah, agreed.
You guys are out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, Tony's not a big basketball guy.
I was a basketball guy in the 90s, and, like, I could probably rattle off guys from every team, but now, like, I don't know, man, even football. I fell out of football, you know? What? I'm all about the pro wrestling, man. We do a wrestling show every week. I got to be up on the sport.
Always, especially if that's what you do.
That's it.
Talk about the most.
It's awesome. It's awesome, though. I love it. We've been talking to Myron Reed. If you want to follow him on Twitter, @TheBadReed. On Facebook, he's Hot Fire Myron Reed. Myron, before we let you go, is there anything else you want to put out there for your fans? Anything you want to plug? Any upcoming appearances we need to know about?
Opera Cup is coming.
Oh, God, how do we not talk about that?
And it's in 2 weeks, and Injustice is about to take over the event once again like we did a couple fusions ago. We're going to do it again. And regardless, tournament or not, we're going to kill it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it is an injustice that nobody from Injustice is in that tournament.
Not even that. No one has been announced for anything. That's how much they care about us.
Yeah.
Oh,
even the
man.
Champion hasn't been announced.
That's no love for Injustice. Man, it goes back to when I first asked you at the beginning of the show. You guys got to keep pushing, man. That's some shit right there. Part of my French.
Yes, it's the little things that nag us.
Awesome.
Unbelievable. We love the MLW product. We've been watching weekly. We discuss it every week. Nothing but love for all you guys. We love what Injustice is doing. Congratulations again on the championship win. And anything else you want to leave us with?
Follow me on Twitter. You know, you already said it.
It is.
The Bad Reed. And IG's Reed's period world. Follow me on all those things, all those forms of social media. And make sure you tune in to MLW. Check me out.
That's it.
Absolutely. Be In Sports and available on YouTube if you don't get the Be In. Myron, this was a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, Myron.
Awesome. Thank you.
Myron Reed, everyone. Injustice.
He's 22?
He's only 22, yeah.
That's scary.
Dude, he's like, you look at his wrestling history. He grinds, dude. He's all over the place.
Well, he's like, didn't he train with Rip Rogers?
Rip Rogers, Michael Elgin, Sammy Callahan. That's some names.
It's three of the best.
Yeah. But it's just like, I don't want to sit here going, oh, you trained with Michael Elgin.
No, I'm just curious to that, because I thought that I heard that prior to reading Matt's notes. I thought that he trained with Rip. I didn't realize he was with Callahan and Elgin. Dude, Elgin's special, man.
Yeah, he is.
Elgin's, you want to go back to all that nonsense, whatever?
Well, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah, like all that bullshit that came up about him. That could have ruined his fucking career.
He's a special talent.
Yeah.
Again, it's just, you know, Mark on the couch talking here, but he's him at even this past, or 2 weeks ago at the Rawway show. Incredible.
Hey, you know, Jordan Oliver is also the CZW Wire champion.
That's right.
Those guys got some gold, man. Injustice ain't no shit.
Dude, a lot of the entire roster from MLW is doing some crazy stuff. Did you notice? Did you watch Fusion from a couple days ago?
Yes.
When Marshall Von Erich got hurt?
Yes.
And then Ross, is it?
Ross's brother is going to take his spot.
Isn't that a little reminiscent of David Von Erich? missing it. Was it David Von Erich missing the shot? Then Kerry Von Erich took the shot. Wasn't that, was that how that went?
No, David died, so Kerry got the shot.
So he missed. He still missed his opportunity.
Wow! Holy shit! Oh. And Kerry missed his foot.
Yeah, I was right. I wasn't wrong.
Well, all right. If you really, in a really roundabout, kind of convoluted way. Sure.
Listen, I think you can make the connection.
Wow!
I think. I think that's what they were thinking.
All right, thinking.
All right, well then, all right, I guess I was way off.
But holy
cow. But when I saw that, that's kind of what it reminded me of, because Kerry wasn't supposed to be in that spot.
Yeah, no, this is fair enough. Although I think...
He may have gotten there
eventually. I think David did get a shot at one point. I don't know.
Oh, he definitely did. But for some reason in my mind, watching the injury angle, I thought of Kerry and David. That's
yeah.
Me.
So. Yeah, well, it was the ultimate injury.
Yeah,
oof, if you don't come back, car.
You don't come back from that one.
No, there's no.
Unless you're Jack Tunney or Macho Man Randy Savage.
You know, you're talking about characters. I'm really surprised Matt didn't do fucking Vince at the live show.
Corporate Kevin
didn't make an appearance.
Corporate Kevin was busy. Meetings all week with the.
That's how stacked that show was.
With Big Mac.
All right, before we spoke to Mr. Myron Reed, I was doing Kevin's favorite part of the show, going into the top fives for AEW, for those of you keeping score at home. So number one is Pac, the bastard. Jon Moxley comes in at number two. Cody Rhodes falls all the way to number three. Hangman Page hangs at number four, and Kenny Omega is at number five. There you go. Women's division. Hiroko Shida is number one. Britt Baker, number two. Sakura, number three. Nyla Rose hanging in there at number four. And Ali, my favorite commentator next to Britt Baker, number five. Tag teams. Lucha Brothers, number one. The Young Bucks, two. Private Party, three. Santana Ortiz dropped to number four, maybe?
All right. Let me ask you this. All right.
What? And the Dark Order, number five.
Santana and Ortiz are 3-1.
2-1. Well, 3-1 overall, yeah.
And Private Party is 4-4. How is Private Party ahead of Santana and Ortiz?
No fucking clue.
Did they beat them last week?
Yes, they beat them last week, and they also had a good showing in the tournament. So I guess that still keeps them up. That still makes them rate.
That was a great match, though, by the way.
Oh, with Ortiz and yeah. Santana and Private Party. Yeah,
the whole tribute to Matt Travis, all that stuff.
Yes,
that was great.
Yes,
and how Excalibur and Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone mentioned it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I just hate it.
Do you hate the rankings?
I hate the rankings. I hated it when it was in WCW.
We'll see how it goes.
I hated when, just because you were the United States champion, that made you the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
That makes sense, though.
No, then why not just call it the number one contender belt? Don't give it, like, another title.
Because that doesn't sound like it has any, like, panache.
You know? But if you're the United States champion, shouldn't you be proud that you're the United States champion?
Yeah. There were a bunch of guys that won the world title as United States champion.
So, the fact that winning a championship belt automatically qualifies you for another championship belt is so silly, and it makes the other championship belts, like the television championship, look silly.
Ah, did you ever play pro wrestling as a kid on Nintendo?
Absolutely.
Well, remember you win the VWA title, and after you defend it 10 times, then you go to the VWF title?
What happens to the VWA title?
You keep it. You get both at the end. And
well, you remember
champion.
When Ultimate Warrior won the world title when he was Intercontinental Champion.
Now,
he had to give it up.
This is a bone of contention of mine since I was a kid when I watched that. Why is it that Hogan would even have him put up that title? Because if Hogan was going to win it, was he going to keep it? Or was he just going to say, nah, I don't
and
want
why,
it.
And why the Intercontinental title? If Hogan won that belt, wouldn't he put his world title in it? Out to the basher?
No,
right?
Because that's
dumb.
That's not the number one contender belt.
I hated that. I hated, and even when WCW used to do the rankings, hated it then. As a fucking little jabroni 6-year-old,
I knew
that was fucking stupid.
I do think, in fairness, that if you are one of the secondary title holders, that you should be considered at least a top contender.
Oh, of course. I'm not saying...
But not
a U.S.
automatic.
Champ should never get a title shot.
But not an automatic, you know, title shot.
Yeah, I mean, like, Goldberg got one. He held both belts at the same time.
Yeah, did Luger do that as well?
Are we talking, like, early Luger or, like, late Luger?
Well, not now Luger.
No.
Like, before Luger.
No. But, I mean, like, on the last Nitro, Booker T was a U.S. champion, and he beat Scott Steiner.
Yes. And when he came out and started wrestling in WWE.
He gave the belt to Canyon.
I was going to say, well, who better than Canyon? That's right. Come on. Jesus.
So, like, it's, I just don't, it's probably something that I'll get past at some point. But right now, it's just, I hate it. I hate it. This isn't fucking sports. This is pro wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some notes and whatnot over here explaining the rankings for the other things, but it is what it is. Cody did apply for trademarks for Slamboree and Super Brawl, by the way.
How is he getting away with that? Unless WWE let the trademarks.
That's the thing. If they let him expire, then it's pretty much like Wild West.
But I still see Slamboree and Super Brawl on the network.
Yeah, because they owned... They own the program that the name was attached to.
Okay.
There's differences. There's, like, subtle differences. Like, just because the trademark runs out, somebody else applies for it, that doesn't mean, like, past use has to, like, be wiped. You
know
what I'm saying?
Let me we're going to go to – we're up against the clock here, up against the wall.
That's all right. Keep going. You're good.
All right. So NWA Power, Total Retro, 80s, 90s, or early studio show.
Yeah.
AEW, bringing back Bash at the Beach. Trademarking Slamboree and Super Brawl.
Uh-huh.
Tonight, Impact Wrestling is doing like an IPWF throwback type show.
Okay.
When the Rock and Roll Express are hotter than ever, PCO doing his thing. God bless him.
Okay.
When will it fucking end?
Wow, you don't like it.
I don't dislike it. I like it. I just want to know when it's going to end. When are we? When are these guys? And I guess it. God bless them all.
The problem in wrestling nowadays is it's
an NWA Power. Sorry to cut you off. Is one of my favorite things right now. Is absolutely one of my favorite things.
Here's the thing.
It has nothing to do with the studio aspect.
The old school wrestlers and fans from the 60s and 70s are pretty much not involved in the business anymore. And if they are, they've learned to evolve with the business. You listen to Arn Anderson talk about it. It's like, you
just
have to evolve.
To a couple of his podcasts
Everything evolves. Wrestling is different from the time of Luthez to the time of Hulkamania. Wrestling is different from the time of Hulkamania to the time of Steve Austin. Wrestling is different from the time of Steve Austin to the time of John Cena. Exactly. So it's always been changing. The problem nowadays is the people that maybe came up in either that 80s mentality from NWA or even the 80s mentality from WWE don't necessarily like the way things are now. They like their holds. They like their chain wrestling. They like their storylines. Nowadays, those people think it's all spot monkeys jumping around. They're going to kill themselves. They don't need to do this. They need to dial it back. The fans nowadays look at that and go, that's boring as fuck. Who wants to watch guys lay on a canvas for 20 or 30 minutes?
What do you think the ratio is from fans who prefer the flippy doos to the fans that prefer the wrestling holds?
If you take the ratings of AEW and you take the ratings of what's going on with WWE, even if you look at like the American like support of what's going on in Japan, I'd say maybe it's 2-1 at this point, WWE for other. I may be a little bit off on that. Maybe it's like
I'm not getting.
So in other words,
answer.
for every 2 million people that like what WWE is doing, there may be a million people that like something else, whether it's AEW, NWA, New Japan.
But I'm talking specifically about styles of wrestling.
Styles.
Like, how many people do you think prefer the Young Bucks as opposed to like, God, who's like the perfect chain wrestler for like NWA Power or like.
Like a Nick Aldis.
A Nick Aldis.
Well, I'll give it to him.
So who prefer? You don't see a whole lot of flippy dudes on NWA Power, if at all.
Very little.
So are people into the flippy dudes more, or are they into the classic chain wrestling, tell me a story in the ring wrestling?
I don't.
Do you have I can't tell you.
If I had to guess, because the WWE is like, you know, the standard bearer now, and more people tune into them.
They're a perfect mix of both, to be honest with you. Maybe not perfect. That was a terrible. Matt's going to kill me.
No, fuck him. It's your opinion.
But I didn't mean it that. It sounded way more.
So then why is Matt going to kill you?
Because I'm saying that WWE is a perfect blend of everything that wrestling is supposed to be, which it's not.
All right. Storyline wise, no. A lot of that is garbage. However, when it comes to matches, like, look, Survivor Series this past weekend.
Banger.
I love most of it.
Banger.
You know?
Hashtag banger.
If I don't see another triple threat till the end of the year, though, I'll be a fucking very happy man.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan
of that.
They
fucking overdid it to death.
Yeah.
Every fucking match was a triple threat.
Oh, I mean, you had to. What else could you do?
Even
the
fucking WWE Championship match turned into a two-on-one.
What if, let me ask you this.
Yes.
What if NXT was never inserted into the equation, and it was just these Raw and SmackDown matches? Do you think that the show would have been as good?
It might have been.
I think it would have been.
Just for the fact that we're only about, what, a month removed from the draft?
Yeah.
So you can even play up the fact that, like, some of these people on the opposite team still have issue with each other, and this is their only way that they can get at each other because they're on separate brands now.
And on paper for the, like, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, that would have been a match if Roddy Strong wasn't involved.
Yeah.
It would have been Becky Lynch versus, who's this man?
Bayley.
I mean, we've seen it before, but it would still be a damn good match.
Yeah. But then that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You've seen it before. How many times are we going to see Becky Lynch and Bayley go at it?
I mean, you would still have Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne because that's an NXT exclusive.
NXT did inject a lot of, like, new talent, new faces, new life into the Survivor Series.
Yeah.
But the problem is now it all goes bye-bye, and then you're back to square one
anyway.
And
the problem is we got ridiculous triple threat matches, which were good, but it was just too much at the same time.
Well, we've got a ton of stuff to unpack when it comes to NXT, when it comes to WWE. We've got picks to fucking go over again, and boy, am I not liking picks.
Oh, baby.
But Kevin, as we always say about this time...
Hey, guys. Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Played this in a while. I was in the mood for a little John Cena.
Good song.
I love, dude, his album was actually pretty decent.
Well, Trademark is a hell of a rapper.
Isn't Trademark his brother?
Cousin,
that's it. But like Bad Bad Man is an awesome song.
Remember that video?
Don't fuck with John Cena. Yeah, when he dressed up as
the 18.
Yeah, he was George Peppard. Hannibal. It wasn't.
Yeah, George Peppard, Hannibal.
And Gary Coleman was in it.
As Mr. T.
No, I think he
played Baracus.
I thought he played the bad guy, didn't he?
Oh, no. What's his name? Who's the MMA fighter? Oh, no, he just played him in the movie.
Oh, he was in some film with them. What the hell is
his
name?
He was in the A-Team movie. He played Baracus as Jonathan Jones?
Rampage.
Oh, Rampage. Rampage Jackson. Yeah.
There you go. Holy cow, we got some memories here.
Now I got to pull up the video.
All right, well, while you're pulling up the video, we want to remind everyone that we do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. You join up for as little as how much, Kevin?
$1.
$1 is the minimum, and you get to become a Patreon producer. We've got different levels. We got different things that we'll give away. Certain levels, you get boxes of wizardry. You get exclusive watch-alongs. You get all kinds of goodies. Head on over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast, and you get to join those who support us, like Kathy Hummer, the Queen of the Shining Wizards, Manny Crocdeville, Crotzo, the King of the Wizards, the Smoke Show, Cindy Ardoon, the AOP of the SWP, Dan and Anthony Rusinello.
And their wife.
Mike Martinelli, Dark Helmet, Ryan Arthur, the Sean Toe, and Sean Kaleo. You didn't do the Kaleo Leo?
That's your gimmick, which is stupid, so I didn't want to do it.
Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say? That'll
Kate the Great Hensler. There you go.
KTG.
Matt Garifo.
No relation.
There you go. Matt Mellinger. Kenny Horsey. The guy we know as Scotch Drinkmore. The Ultimate Horrier. I wonder what the Ultimate Horrier would look like, actually. That's our pal Ben Haven. Good seeing him the other night, too, by the way. He popped in for a bit. And, of course, Kevin.
That's so Haven.
Wait. Let me get it up ready. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are gonna be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
What are you? Oh, you're pulling up the video?
Oh yeah, sorry about that.
No, I heard the audio. I got in a little panic. I kept looking down at my shit.
What's his name?
What's his nuts?
Arnold is in the video, but he's like
he's like the bad guy. No,
he starts in just reading the newspaper, and they're and John Cena sees him at like a coffee shop or something.
Don't fuck with John Cena. I'm a bad man. Love this song. Fuck the watered down rap, we be taking it back.
Oh my god, you know the words?
Fuck yeah, dude. Looked in the mirror, ain't no place in them, cause you're playing the hold like you're playing the fold.
Oh my god, you know the words?
Roll up in your streets like can a you,
this is for my phone, so play it. Can you play it?
I don't have it on the board. Okay. To the rest of the song. Who the way we're going to mess up your plan and don't fuck with John Cena. I'm a bad, bad man.
Yeah, that's. Oh, you know, that's his boy, too, who's also a rapper. That's who that is.
Who?
The guy who plays Mr. T is also a rapper, and he's in that crew with Trademark and John Cena because he has a line, he has a verse in the song.
There you go. All right, we don't need to do that.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to listen to this later.
I know. I'm all ganked
up.
I'm
pretty pumped up.
I'm really ganked
up. John Cena's the man.
Fuck it.
That's right.
He's a bad man. You guys are fucking idiots. Can't believe you're playing that shit.
That's a good song.
It's a fucking great song.
I'm excited. I want to go home and listen to this.
Don't sleep on that album. You know what? I'm going to see if I can put it in the soundboard. Maybe we'll close out the show with that.
Just like I'm a bad, bad man.
Great. All I'm getting is I'm getting Bad Romance by Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga.
Fuck.
And Bad Girls by Donna Summer. Yeah, this is not the music I was looking for.
I just put in John Cena. Did you put John Cena or did you just put Bad Man?
I put Bad Man.
You could get a whole lot of different stuff if you just put in Bad Man.
Yeah, but it's my like list. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, you already have it there?
I thought I had it. Oh, wait. John Cena and Trademark. Wait, what?
Oh, let's no, play it. It's play just, it. It's play
just,
it anyway.
It's just My Time Is Now.
Oh, all right.
That's what it is. I could play you this.
Abadoo? That's right.
We haven't played this in forever.
Yeah, this might be the best Cena song ever. Is this Gary Coleman?
Do you remember this came from Max Landis? Remember when he did that video, Wrestling Is Real or whatever it was? You don't remember this?
Tony, I don't remember. Wow. I don't remember the anniversary show.
This is true. You know, he did a whole like story on wrestling, but it was all women playing the characters. He did like Triple H, Shawn Michaels, John Cena.
Huh?
All right, we'll have to watch that.
John Oblanski.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that later. I don't want to you know, stick a monkey wrench in your plans. Oh fuck!
I'm a bad, bad man.
Kevin, speaking of fucking monkey wrenches, we've got to fucking do it.
Let's do it.
It's time for the Shining Wizards pay-per-view extravaganza. Pick results for NXT, War Games, and the Survivor Series. It's rough. It is rough. We've got a...
I crushed NXT.
Well, we don't have a change in stand... Well, we don't have a change in the number one standing. Kevin is still your number one.
You know it.
Kevin went an impressive...
Number one in your hearts.
4-1 for NXT. And then he kind of fell off a little bit for Survivor Series, 5-4.
Still winning, but the matches that I won were obvious.
Matt crushed the weekend. He went 10-4. He went 3-2 in NXT, but 7-2 at Survivor Series.
Very impressive.
I, on the other hand, I kind of shit the bed for the weekend. I went 2-3 on NXT. I redeemed myself somewhat, 6-3 at the Survivor Series. We'll get into details in a minute, but right now Kevin still stands at number one. He's 100 wins over... 211-107. Matt is in second place, three games back, 208-110. Tony falls to third place for, I think, the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
207-111. And there's not too much longer to go. We got December, we got January.
Matt's creeping, but he ain't. He got no shot.
Hey, we're still all within four of each other.
Got no shot. Actually, if I put up a fucking dud like I did for Survivor Series, then there is a chance.
Well, I mean, you still came out winning for the Survivor Series.
Well, because what? I mean, Brock Lesnar, Mysterio was an obvious one. Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, despite how great the matches on paper, I think was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, pretty obvious.
Yeah, we all took Finn Balor. We all split the triple threat. I took Damian Priest. Did you take Killian Dane?
No, I took Pete Dunne.
You took Pete Dunne, so you got the win on that. Matt took Killian Dane. So we split that. We all took Team Ciampa. I took Team Baszler. You took Team Baszler. Matt took Team Ripley. That was a win.
Yeah, that's the only one I lost.
And Matt and I took Swerve, and you took Garza.
Yeah. So I know how Garza's been booked on the old NXT.
Well, there you go, because you've been paying attention.
That's right.
Let's see. For the Survivor Series, we all took Adam Cole. Over Pete Dunne, which we didn't know who was going to be anyway. We all took The Fiend, and we all took the Viking.
I did, because I got Pete Dunne right on.
And we all took the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
Let me see. We took AJ Styles, and you took Nakamura?
I took Shinsuke Nakamura. Okay. I didn't think they would. I thought because of the playoff, the new belt, I thought maybe they'd give him a little polish.
Yeah, but Roddy just kind of stole the win, so it was kind of a shit win anyway.
Yeah, but Roddy's the man. I can't even get mad.
You took Team SmackDown, and Matt took
You
took Team NXT.
For the men's, I took NXT.
I'm trying to read this. It's really small on my phone.
And I thought Keith Lee was going to be the sole survivor in that match.
And it looked like it at the end, but you know what?
My pick was based on Keith Lee being the survivor.
I took Team Raw. Let me see. Viking Raiders, I said. So, Matt took Shayna Baszler, which was big.
Yeah, I took Bayley.
We both took Bayley. I took Team NXT.
For the women.
And you guys all took Team Raw.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That'll do it.
There you go. Thoughts on NXT? I actually watched both shows in their entirety.
Me too. Look at us. A couple of real wrestling fans here.
NXT was pretty sick.
NXT was amazing.
It was pretty sick.
Banger. Hashtag bangers and mash.
The only thing I didn't like about the women's match was the fact that Ripley's team won 4-on-2. I didn't get the whole Tegan Knox thing, too. What was going on with them? Are you following the women's
stories there? Dakota Kai?
With the attack when they were getting out of the cage.
Well, because Dakota Kai she attacked Mia Yim. Mia Yim got hurt.
Yeah.
So they put in Dakota Kai.
Now, Dakota Kai was the one that was crying that she didn't get in,
was
right?
snubbed. So she did the whole heel-ski move.
So Dakota Kai was the one that was getting out of the cage, and then she beat up Tegan Knox.
Yes.
Okay. So
this part I might be off on. I thought they started to team them two as a tag team.
Because it kind of looked like they were in the same
gear. Yeah, so I watch NXT every week, so I don't know how I don't know this, but I guess I kind of do. So Dakota Kai just beat the shit out of them because she was snubbed from the team, and Dakota Kai is going to be like heel Bailey in NXT. Because she's so likable, Dakota Kai. She's always been likey.
All the women were super talented. Bianca Belair took her ass kicking. When Candice LeRae
grabbed... Wasn't too long ago that you guys were shitting on Bianca Belair.
Oh, no, I'm shitting on her, too, because I think she did a flip ski off the top, and she landed on somebody's face.
Well, there was a lot of that.
It was a lot, dude. Fucking in the triple threat where fucking Killian Dane dropped Pete Dunne right on Damian Priest, both of... I was like, whoa.
That happened at Survivor Series in the AJ Styles... Shinsuke Nakamura, Roddy Strong match. Someone landed right on AJ Styles' head. It was either that or Raw. I forget.
I think it was Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I did like that they announced all the participants in the War Games
on the pre-show.
Well, individually they came out. You know,
oh, in the War Games. Yeah. Well,
because at the Survivor Series, it was like, ladies and gentlemen, Team Raw.
Are you ready?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Are you ready for a good time?
Give these people their entrances. Is it that hard?
Dude, and that song for SmackDown is the only purpose that song could ever be relevant in another setting. Or no, it can't be relevant. It's a music for a TV show, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
They could have come out to like the team captain music, like Seth Rollins' music, Burn It Down, would have been perfect.
Yeah. Or, you know, dude, look, go back to the old Survivor Series. You would have like the captain, like I'm going back to 89 because that's the one I watch over and over.
You came
over
out
again.
To the captain's music.
No, well, sometimes you would have different music because at this point they were still kind of doing like co-captains, but not really.
No, but I'm talking about the very beginning, like when Hogan's team came out.
Oh,
they all came out to Real America.
No, 89, they all had their own music. Demolition,
but
Jake
not
the
80.
Snake, and Hogan.
No,
all had
87,
their own music.
The first Survivor Series.
I can't tell you.
They all came out together.
Yeah, but they started again.
No, they started doing the co-captain shit. Like Macho Man came out to his music first, then Hogan came. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fucking give him Seth Rollins' music, though, and have them all come to the ring as a united front.
But, like, if you had, like, you go to, like, 91, they all, the babyface team would always come out to their own music.
All they had to do, Kevin, when they come out, have them walk into the ring. You know, from Davenport, Iowa, Captain Seth Rollins. Give them all their announcements.
Captain Lou Albanner.
Well, that's Captain Lou. But, like, announce them as they're coming to the ring. That's what they always did at Survivor Series. Yeah. Give them their creds. And sometimes they even skip creds in the title matches. Like, look, the women, they never tell them their weight anyway. Fine, I can accept that. But when they're announcing the champion, announce the fucking champion's hometown and his weight. Don't just say, like, you know, the champion, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they don't announce from anymore. They just he is the so-and-so champion.
But they should announce who he's from. You know what I'm saying? They should do it.
You know what's tough, though? Like... You got guys like, say, like the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're from.
From Viking land.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
You know? Well, that's where you get the Viking experience in Viking land.
You're right. All you get is they are the WWE Tag Team Champions, Eric and Ivar, the Viking
Raiders.
Well, at
least Raiders. You get... Yeah, well, yeah.
But you don't get where... I have no idea where they're from. They don't announce it, do they?
Well, maybe they don't because they don't know where they're from. Are they from parts unknown? I don't know. Where are they from? If you know where the Viking Raiders are from, hit us up on the Twitter at Wizards Podcast.
I'm trying to think. I mean, you'll get like I remember hearing like The Miz being announced from Parma, Ohio. I remember Dolph Ziggler being announced from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
It's weird. It's really weird.
That is weird. If we're wrong about that, let us know on the old Twitter because I don't think they announce Hometown. Maybe for like Rey Mysterio because he does the 619. Maybe they'll say it.
No, they did say it for him. But then we got the Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar thing, which is, you know, that's what they do.
I'm trying to think.
Unless
it's incorporated into their character, they really don't announce. Yeah, maybe don't they know. Maybe they do.
Yeah. It's kind of silly anyway. Matt Riddle, Finn Balor.
Bro.
Great match.
Big Riddle guy.
The men's match. Kevin Owens coming out. Blew the roof off the place.
It was awesome.
And I like how they have that strip of metal in the middle. And when Owens
metal
was going
in the middle?
And when Owens was going for the package pile driver, when Adam Cole Bebe had to power him over three times, but he got him in the fucking, what do they call it? They don't call it the Canadian Destroyer.
No, it's like this. It's like the sunset. Sunrise. It's like something sunrise.
Let's just call it the Katila. Jesus, the Tequila Sunrise.
No, because that was Conan's move. I love the Tequila Sunrise as a finisher.
You also love the drink, don't you?
What?
Isn't that a drink?
Yeah, it's tequila, orange juice, and cranberry juice.
Oh, man. Ooh, that sounds good, actually.
I think it's cranberry.
That sounds very, very good.
Yeah, that's a tequila sunrise. But, when Conan did the tequila sunrise finishing the submission, I loved it. And Regal kind of had, like, remember William Regal's finish? Where the Regal stretch, obviously?
I thought it was just like an STO.
No, but he did one. I think it was Regal. He would do the tequila sunrise around the leg, where he'd wrap the leg, but then he'd go back and take your elbow at your head and pull your elbow up.
You know what? I think I do remember him doing that.
And he may have also done it where he took you by the chin as well.
Oh, fucking sicko. Oh. There was one spot in the women's war game match. Rhea Ripley had...
Believe it or not.
She had Io Shirai in a move in the corner. And then what's her face? Baszler saw that, and she gets up on the second rope, and she just starts guillotine hanging Candice LeRae in a sleeper.
Yeah,
like, all right, who's gonna stop first? You know, and then Candice LeRae got out of it. It was awesome.
Did you have a problem with the fact that the people that fought at War Games were then partners the next night?
Yeah, it kind of
took a little polish off.
I don't
the
like
old,
the United. I don't.
I mean, I get it,
Kev,
but
I don't like the brand supremacy bullshit.
I don't hate the United Front, but if it was this people that just fought each other last night, like, come on, give me something. You couldn't put Rhea Ripley's team in, like Toni Storm was the only one that didn't wrestle at War Games that was in that match.
Yeah.
Like, Bianca Belair is now like...
Bianca Belair,
floor scarf, floor stutter, is now best friends with Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, don't they all hate each other?
Yeah, I'm willing to suspend disbelief a little bit. That it's just something that I noticed, a little hodgepodge that I just like, yeah, come on. Did you have to put these guys together? Gals together?
The women of NXT are very talented. The men of NXT are very talented. I think that goes without saying.
Everyone's really very talented.
No, but the women really impressed me. You know what I'm saying?
You know what match? We didn't get a pick in on Survivor Series.
Which one? Oh, the Battle Royal?
The Battle Royal.
Didn't the B team win?
No, the...
Who won? Yeah, the B team won. I thought it was Axel and what's his face.
No way they won.
I thought they did. Who won the Battle Royal?
Did I skip that? Did I once Hawkins and Ryder got eliminated? Did I just turn it off?
Probably because you were disgusted. Didn't they get their shit pushed in yesterday too? Yeah. By the Rusinellos beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, fuck
they?
You, Rusinellos.
You fucking assholes! You beat up Kevin's buddies.
How dare you?
How dare you? I gotta put that on the soundboard. And
there's no way the B team won that battle royal.
Well, I don't know. I think. Oh, I didn't crash my computer. It's looking great.
I probably saw Hawkins and Ryder get eliminated and turned it off.
Hawkins and Ryder also did a live Major Brothers show.
They did
this weekend too.
They did, and they very graciously plugged our live
did.
Show on their Instagrams and everything.
Big props to those guys. They're awesome. Thinking. Let me see.
I told you, I'm decked out in the old Major Pod gear right now.
Oh, it was Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode.
Yeah.
Okay. They last eliminated the Street Profits.
That's right.
Okay. It was the Interbrand Tag Team Battle Royal.
Yeah, the Forgotten Sons were there from NXT.
And Leo Rush beat Akira Tozawa.
And Kalisto. Triple
Wait, we didn't count that one?
We counted it.
Was that in the picks?
Yeah. Did you not?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, because Matt sent a message in the group chat.
Yeah,
Tony, get that
no,
Leo
I know.
Pick in.
Yeah, I know, three times. I'm an idiot tonight.
Oh, so that's how you failed.
I fail a lot, dude.
You probably would have picked Leo.
Didn't I?
Did you end up getting it in?
I thought I did. No, I picked Leo. I did.
Oh, okay. Maybe you did.
Why would I not pick Leo? How's Leo going to lose at this point?
I didn't think you got it in.
Yeah, it was the first thing that we went over. No, we didn't. Did he not put this on? Is this not in my results?
No, I don't think you may have gotten it in, Tony.
I don't. No, it is the bottom of the list. Leo Rush.
Oh, okay.
There it is. Fuck, my eyes are bad, dude. I apologize. Oof.
Listen, your eyes, my memory. Ooh, baby, we're just like a 90-year-old person.
Yeah, but you know we're having
combined.
Fun. So
that's right.
Fuck all. Corey Graves put Mauro Ranallo on blast for not letting Nigel and Beth Phoenix.
When you watched this show, did you notice that he was hogging anything?
Not hogging, but way overly enthusiastic. He was calling everything like it was the fucking end of the world, and this was his last call. It was overbearing, dude. And you know how much I hate Corey Graves. Yeah. I'm a Matt guy.
I'm not a big Corey Graves guy either.
Not a fan of his at all. I don't like the fact that he put him on blast on social media like that, because that's some bullshit. However, I was not happy. I felt bad because Nigel and Beth, who I think the world of, I think they do a good job.
They're very good.
But fucking.
Hey!
I knew I was going to get in there somewhere. I don't get it. He screams everything. Everything. He's got him in a headlock, mamma mia!
I really feel.
And then he said effing. Like, he's like, oh, my effing God, or something like that. Or he said, I'm like, no, dude, no.
To me, you know what I think? I think I could be off. I think that's his genuine passion just taking over.
It's too much, dude. And look.
I didn't notice it, though. When I was watching it, I don't remember thinking to myself, oh, that's too much Mauro.
I didn't watch it going, no, it wasn't too much Mauro. It was over the top Mauro, and I think that's what killed it for me.
But Corey Graves' tweet made it seem like all you heard was Mauro.
Yeah, and it wasn't true, but maybe like orally, A-U-R-A-L, like you heard him because he was just so loud and boisterous and like to a point obnoxious. And like I said,
I didn't get that vibe.
No, I did, dude. Maybe
I'll watch it again, maybe.
It had nothing to do with the fact that Corey Graves said it, because I wasn't like, I'm going to tune in and listen. After a while, I'm like, why is he screaming? I'm like, this is ridiculous. And he wasn't letting the story in the ring play out.
Okay.
Because of his screaming. That's what got it.
That's a fair criticism, I guess.
And look, we all know that Mauro Ranallo has like, what do you call it? Anxiety or social disorder, whatever you want to call it. I forget exactly what he's diagnosed
with. Social distortion.
Yes. I was wrong. Whatever their song was.
You were wrong.
Wasn't that their song? I was wrong.
I don't know. They had a million songs.
I know, but that was the one I remember. And trust me, I don't remember too much. So the fact that I remembered one Social Distortion song is a feather in my cap.
You're probably right. That's actually one of my favorite bands, and I don't even know if that's one of the
holy
songs.
So you don't know any Social Distortion songs? They were probably on in the background while you were at these parties in college, and all you were thinking was, ooh, got to get home to watch wrestling. I'll be back in 3 hours.
Oh, Impact, baby. I went home to watch TNA. I told this story a million times on the pod.
I know you did. That's why I brought it back.
I would leave the party, go watch TNA.
Yep. I did not watch NXT with the fact that I could shit on Mauro Ranallo. And I know he's got this condition. I know he fucking quit social media, because that was kind of a shitty thing that Corey Graves did. But I gotta call it for what it was. And I think he was just too over the top.
Again, I'm not going to disagree. I don't remember watching it thinking that at the time.
Fair enough.
But because I just know how, I mean, I consider Mauro Joey Styles version 2.0.
Yeah, but Joey was never always like up like that. You know what I'm saying?
But was Joey?
Joey's, oh my God.
And this is going to sound blasphemous. Was Joey Styles calling matches to the caliber, oh God, this is going to sound really blasphemous, that Mauro has been calling?
Fair enough.
I mean, he probably had his. I mean, come on, there was great matches.
But if you're going to take people on that roller coaster of emotions, you've got to know when to hit the peaks and when to take it back. And at certain points, when Mauro got ramped up, he was like, "What?" And that was it. He wasn't coming back down. Nigel was trying to throw in a point, but when Nigel tries to make a permanent point,
I gotcha.
It was overshadowed by Mamma Mia! Holy shit, he fucking killed himself! My God! I mean, that's a little over the top.
There's two schools of thought on Mauro. You either love the Mamma Mia or you hate the Mamma Mia. And I'm saying Mamma Mia in terms of his general...
No, but I don't mind the Mamma Mia.
I'm just saying his general way about doing commentary. You either enjoy the over-the-top enthusiasm or you don't.
I still think it was a pretty shitty thing of Corey Graves to do.
What? Corey Graves, 100% with that.
Corey Graves could have easily behind the scenes said, look, Mauro, I know you... Maybe... Corey feels the need to fucking get his muscles all juiced up on Twitter because Mauro's been doing this for fucking longer than Corey Graves has been born, by the way. You know what I'm saying?
Corey Graves is lucky that he still has the job that he has.
That's a hot take.
I'll tell you. And I'm going back from when he was given the job, when he was a wrestler and was concussed, and Triple H did the right thing, and I still agree with that move. Triple H did the right thing. WWE did the right thing, keeping him employed. I totally support that. Not going to shake that at all. But you got, again, I don't know Corey Graves from anybody, so I don't know who he is personally. I don't know if this is just him, you know, being a dick because that's his persona. But the fact that you got a gift handed to you, granted, you may have been hurt in their ring, possibly, I guess, whatever you want to say. You got a gift handed to you to resume your career at a very high profile, and you're going to take advantage of that by shitting on somebody, first of all, who's older than you, second of all, who's been doing it longer than you,
yeah,
third of all, who is a wealth of knowledge, and I compare him to Joey Styles. I'll compare him even to like a Mike Tenay.
Yeah, like Mauro Ranallo or not, the guy's got the credentials. There's nobody taking that away from him. Like, people shit on Jim Ross now in AEW. He's an old man. He's washed up. He should retire. Blah, blah. Jim Ross has been fucking doing this for a lot longer than a lot of these people have fucking been in existence.
I don't want to get it twisted. It's okay to have a criticism if you don't enjoy what they're saying, but don't accuse them of doing something that they're not.
And not only that, dude, that's a bullshit thing to put a senior announcer on blast like that.
No, it's 100%. It's 100%.
If you had a problem with him, hey, Mauro, you know, you were doing this and that. I want to understand why, because, like, to me, it didn't come across that
way. And who knows? I mean, I can't tell in wrestling anymore what people are doing behind this. Like, I have no idea if he didn't talk to him.
I know, and it's rough with Mauro, too, because he quit Twitter. He shut everything down again. It's like, look, I know he's got a condition, but... You know, pro wrestling is not the fucking easiest place to get on with, you know?
I mean, it's not like Vince McMahon said this about you. Corey Graves said this about you. Consider the source. Yeah, Corey Graves is... I'm sorry. You say whatever you want about Mauro Ranallo. Corey Graves is not better than Mauro Ranallo.
No, he's not.
He's not.
He brings knowledge.
Beth Phoenix is better than Corey Graves. How about that hot take?
I like the hot takes tonight.
Nigel McGuinness is better than Corey Graves.
And I do like the fact that somebody was smart enough to give Nigel McGuinness that position, because he so fucking deserves it. He's so good at what he does.
All right, so if you want to play the devil's advocate, maybe Corey Graves was sticking up for Beth and Corey and Beth and Nigel, and didn't necessarily mean to tear down Mauro in the process. Maybe he was just trying to give them their due.
Who calls NXT with them on the regular?
Nigel and Beth.
But that's it. It's not Mauro.
Mauro. It's Mauro, Nigel,
so
and Beth.
So is this like just something out of the blue? Like because you would think that Corey Graves maybe, I don't know, would have criticized him at some earlier point, or was Mauro just like on fire on Saturday? What I'm saying?
I mean, maybe Mauro just got a little souped. Maybe.
I don't know. It was a strange thing to say, and it's just a weird fucking situation overall.
Yeah. So Corey Graves is probably like on the totem pole of announcers. Is probably like seventh.
You know, there was something that happened.
I mean, it's better than Jerry Lawler and Dio Madden.
Poor Dio Madden still hurt for trying to defend Jerry the King.
Jerry should be
fucking kissing his feet when he comes back.
Maybe they'll have a match.
Fucking old
maybe they'll have a kiss my foot match. And then Jerry Lawler will hire a dentist to help him if he loses.
You know, Dave LaGreca had the mayor of Knoxville on today.
So did Sam Roberts.
Oh, they all got him.
And so did Boomer and Geo.
How come they didn't fucking come over here?
Listen, Glenn.
Glenn.
Mr. Mayor. From one mayor to another. Come on up, Shining Wizards podcast. Mayor of West Orange, the mayor of Knoxville. Come on, we can talk politics.
You should do that. Like, who's the hockey team in Tennessee?
The Nashville Predators.
Ooh, the next time the Predators play the Devils, you should call him up and ask him if he wants to make a friendly wager against the fucking mayor of West Orange.
I'll talk to my dear good friend Jeff Jarrett about that.
Well, there you go.
Jeff Jarrett's a huge Predators guy.
No, what I'm saying, it could be one of those like friendly rivalry things like they do during the Super Bowl. Like, you know, like the mayor of New York against the mayor of Chicago or, you know.
Yeah,
whatever.
We'll do that. And the loser has to wear the other's jersey.
Yeah, or like send over like a case of like pork roll or something like that.
I'll do that.
Yes, I said pork
Taylor
roll.
Ham, by the way.
No.
Stop, bite your fucking tongue, Tony.
No, I'm a Taylor Ham guy.
Okay.
So, yesterday morning, somebody posted up on one of the Memories of New Jersey pages to get the argument going.
Did Jersey disappear?
No. Well,
you're talking about it like Jersey died. God, I missed it.
Well, the old Jersey. Okay. And of course, some asshole had to post up the cat and the screaming women. And they put,
what is that from, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know where the cat. Oh, the women is from some reality show. I forget what it was. The cat, no idea.
There's three things I want to know about. This, the cat and the cradle and the silver spoon. No, the cat and the woman screaming. I'm going to tell my kids this is such and such.
I don't get that either.
And the Okay Boomer.
Okay Boomer really is starting to piss me off.
What is that?
It's kind of like a derogatory thing to say to older people, like when they start like spewing back in the day and when I was your age. And
is it a baby boomer?
I guess that's what it's short for, yeah. But I don't think they understand where the baby boomer generation came from. Like the baby boomers were from the 80s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because I was born in 83, so my mom and my dad, I guess we're baby boomers.
Okay.
Is that how it works? I'm not a baby. We're not baby boomers.
No, I'm definitely not. I was born in the 70s.
Yeah, so you're
a dick.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm a fucking hippie.
Were you a hippie? Were you 9 years old wearing like corduroys and tie-dye?
No, but Kevin, I want to be honest with you. My mother. Now, I've got a brother who's 2 years younger than me. I've got a brother that's 7 years younger than me.
Yeah,
I have pictures of us on family vacations where my mother dressed all three of us exactly the same. So there would be a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
And a 32-year-old.
Well, a 32-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 25-year-old all wearing the same outfit. It was mental abuse is what it was, goddammit.
Oh, yeah, my parents kind of did that with us, but they would just like switch like the colors.
Yeah, but what's the difference between
you
and
your brother? 2 years apart.
Well, there you go. I mean, that kind of makes sense.
But like they were, like when we would go to like the beach, like we'd have like a Hawaiian shirt with matching bathing suit. Like a Hawaiian button down with a matching, or we'd have like matching pajamas, but like just different color schemes.
Okay, well, but I mean, at least they were different colors.
Yeah, but they were pretty similar.
It's like my mother went into like two guys and she found the fucking same outfit in three different sizes and said, perfect.
And there were three of you?
Three of us.
And then they went to two guys.
We went to two guys.
Is that a place?
It used to be. That's how old I am. It was kind of in the same like Bradley's or Caldor.
Oh, Caldor.
Or what you would consider like Kohl's with toys. Let's just put it that way.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
You want to talk about toys?
Oh, what do you got?
I think like next week, we did our anniversary show in Hackensack. On the way, we passed a little place called the Garden State Plaza.
Oh, you didn't stop in?
Toys R Us is opening in the Garden State
Plaza.
Yes,
they are. I don't know what kind of like...
next week.
I don't know what kind of... detail they're going to have, but yeah.
Wouldn't you go balls out with everything?
Like, who, me?
No, I mean, if Toys R Us going to do something, wouldn't they have everything you could possibly imagine?
See, I don't know how big the location's going to be because it's opening up inside the mall.
Wasn't the mall pretty big?
The mall's big. That doesn't mean the retail space is going to be big where they put it.
Ah, it's got to be big.
And the other thing is, like, if you go to their website is up and running.
Target.
That's the thing. Like, yeah. It goes to Target Toys. Like, so it's like,
Yeah, but I feel like the retail places are going to be stockpiled to the gills.
Look, I'm curious, man. I'm curious.
I say we take another trip to the elementary and stop at the Garden State Plaza.
We might have to do that.
Matt, you're driving.
Yeah, Matt's definitely driving.
Yeah. Love you, Matt.
Something that happened on Friday that we missed talking about on the show.
Something that happened this
on
past Friday?
SmackDown, the day after the show, that people were fucking lit up about.
Oh, the Intercontinental Championship?
I'm going to have a hot take right now. I'm going to have a real hot take.
Is that Intercontinental Championship better than Corey Graves?
Oh, definitely. 100%. 100%. I think it's only a step behind the 24/7 title, personally. But honestly, I like it. I like it. It's something new. It's modern. It looks like a wrestling belt, even though it's got the WWE logo on it. I think that they took the lead from, like, the North American Championship. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of digging it. And you know what?
I'm mixed.
Another hot take. I think it's about time that classic design went away. I think it's about that time.
I'm so mixed.
I like the old design. I like the old Winged Eagle belt. I love the fact that they still sell, like, an ultra version of the European Championship, which I love that belt.
That was a great belt.
It's one of only two replicas I've ever kept. I had tons of them. I've sold them all off.
What's the other one?
The other one is my first ever, my WCW tag belt.
And I kept
that because my cousin still has his. We bought those as a pair.
That was a great belt. And we had this conversation about that
belt.
Yeah,
of course we did. But I kind of like it. I'm digging it.
All right. I'm mixed.
Now, are you mixed because you kind of like the old belt still, or is there something you really don't like about it?
I want to speak. Right.
Let me speak on this.
I want to speak on this, Diggity Dogs, Tequila Sunrise.
Another thing I missed. We should have brought the fucking bell last week. Go ahead, continue.
I don't hate that they're making a new belt. It happens. It happened. It's happened before. It's happened again. Mm-hmm. If history is a guide, in 10 years, the old IC title will be back. Right? Doesn't that always happen? You really think so? It happens all the fucking time.
You really think they're going to bring the old belt back again?
I'm surprised. What was their thought process that they thought that the IC title needed replacing, but the ugly-ass United States title doesn't need replacing?
That's the mystery. I'm very surprised at that. Honestly, of all the belts right now, and this includes the logo belts, I can't stand that fucking U.S. belt, dude. I've never liked it. I liked the John Cena U.S. spinner belt.
Better than
100
that?
100 times more than that fucking thing. I hate that belt. I don't like it at all.
Now, they played it off well with Sami Zayn and calling Shinsuke like a true artist and his belt. You know, I wish they would have kept a white strap on it. I think so.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why?
I don't. Get rid of the white strap. Nobody needs it. You don't need that shit.
So would you? Wait. What?
You don't need that shit. White strap? Nah. It's over and done, dude.
Did you hate the white strap on the belt before?
No. But it's done. Get rid of it.
So you're telling me if Sami Zayn presented Shinsuke Nakamura with the white strap version of this belt, you would hate it?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I like the black, and I don't need to double down on changing the color of the strap.
The belt's like a lot of things. And again, this is probably just the old school in me. There's no layers to it. It's flat. Like the old IC title belt, you saw like, you know what I'm saying? Towards the end, like the ripples.
Yeah, I get it, but I think it's actually thicker. It's got more
look thicker. It reminds me of the Ring of Honor title. It reminds me of
the two belts side by side. You can't compare, dude. The old belt, it's etched. It's done quite well, but this fucking belt was huge, dude. It's so thick. It's massive. I like it.
Again,
I don't know.
I got to talk to the Mac Daddy.
Yeah, you better fucking put a call in.
I got to talk to, you know, Iron Mac Tyson.
Oh, here's what you need to do.
Mac Rotundo.
You need to call Kevin Dunn. And you got to tell him it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, to me.
Because that's the only way you're going to get Kevin Dunn to
change his mind. Have to go through Kevin Dunn anymore because you know that inner circle that like Pat Patterson, Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon sit by the pool? I'm in there.
You're pool party Kevin
I'm pool party. Yep.
Wow.
Pool party Kevin.
Fucking like listening to Vince's farts and
that's
eating brats by the pool.
His best ideas come from his butt.
Wow. God damn. Pal.
That's it.
Smell this, Kevin.
I'm right in there.
Smell it. I had a protein shake this morning.
So I'm actually kind of surprised he made this change without running it by me.
Look, you would have been the first one to tell me if it was getting changed.
You know what I think? If I'm looking at my paperwork correctly, I think he made this decision while we were recording the live show. So I think that slipped through the cracks. And then Bruce Pritchard said, oh, it's a great idea. And then he was like, stupid fucking question, Kevin. And then it just how it happened. I would never let it happen on my watch.
Hmm.
So,
that's it. I like it.
The tag belts need to be changed.
The period penny belts.
Yeah,
I kind of like them on the different color straps though to match the brands.
I mean, what is it? They're both silver. They're both red and blue straps.
I dig them better when they used to be copper than when they used to be copper and black. Those were ugly as shit. But in the silver now with the colored straps, I kind of like it.
Out of all the belts though to change, you choose that one.
The U.S. belt is definitely next on the chopping block. If they don't change that one, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do next. But
I think they like it because it just has the flag right on it.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid. Remember the fake artwork that was going around where they were going to make it look like the IC belt but have it say United States with the flag on the background?
I don't think I'd like that either. I think I may have liked it at the time, but...
If they would have done it better, you know, like I actually had a professional, like, you know,
yeah,
artist mock-up conception... another thing I hate the fucking New Japan US belt. I hate that thing. It's big. It's stupid looking. It looks like a brain with a flag on it.
Can I tell you what belt I hate?
Oh, tell me.
The MLW Heavyweight Championship belt.
Cause it's square.
It's huge.
It's a big belt.
It's bigger than Jacob Fatu's head.
Yeah. And
he's a Samoan.
Jacob's a big fucking guy, dude. That is a big belt.
I don't like it.
I don't like it because it's a little big, but I do like that it's a different design. I can dig the different design.
Like,
I think the open weight and the tag belts kind of look too similar. You know?
Yeah, they do, actually.
They look a little too similar.
I'll give you that. They definitely do.
But the middleweight belt does look good on Myron Reed's waist. I like that shit. That's good shit right there. Do we have anything we want to talk about from Survivor Series?
I mean, we saw the Brock Lesnar, Rey Mysterio, go down.
It was cool that Dominic was actually pulling off some shit, but, I mean, the ending was never...
He's got some potential.
The ending was never in question.
Of course. I mean, that match was a lock from, like I said, that's the only reason why I went 5-4 is for matches like that.
Roderick Strong snuck out with a win. The women's team... All right, big overall picture with these three-team matches... I don't like the fact that they play off that Raw and SmackDown can't get along, you know, that they can't get along with their own teammates. That's what cost them the matches, you know?
Yeah, Asuka, Charlotte.
And what was up with the two women being eliminated from NXT?
They were never
eliminated. So it was like Sasha Banks just fucked everybody over and it was supposed to be one-on-one. And then all of a sudden these two other ones come back and I was like, really? Really?
And they're like, the ones that are in like the most heated, they were in the most heated rivalry on NXT, yeah. Candice and Io Shirai.
And for some reason they get along, but these other idiots from the established brands can't get along.
Yeah, the guys that are already making millions and millions of dollars and they can't get along.
Yeah, the more professional of the bunch. And what'd you think of the women's main event? I thought it was kind of flat. I think the crowd wasn't as into it as they should have been. I don't think the three of them really worked all that well together.
All right, I'll agree with that.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know if necessarily I would have put that on as the main event. I love The Fiend and Daniel Bryan. I don't mind the red lights.
You don't mind the red?
I love the red lights, actually.
Like the new Intercontinental Championship belt, and you don't mind the red?
I didn't mind the red when they did it at Saudi Arabia. I didn't mind the red when they did it in Hell in a Cell. I'm cool with it. Because it's something different. It's like you're in the Fiend's world now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they've done it before. But guys like Sin Cara used to wrestle with like blue lighting or something like that.
Sin Cara was a fucking Kmart special of a luchador. That's why. That's why they put the blue lights on him.
Right.
I like it, dude. Daniel Bryan showed promise. He showed that he figured out
promise.
He showed, dude. He had the Fiend down a bunch of times, and he kept getting up.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant
kept kicking him down, dude. He got in quite a bit of offense on him.
He
actually took it to him. There was a point in time where it was like, holy shit, Daniel Bryan's actually handling himself quite well. And then the Sister Abigail and the Mandible Claw.
Mandible Claw is a hot finish nowadays.
I love The Fiend.
Priscilla Kelly did it on MLW.
That was a little fucking weird.
The Spider Lady.
That was a little fucking weird.
Who do you like better, the Spider Lady or ?
Question mark, 100%.
Hands down?
100%. I didn't understand why she had to come out as Spider Lady. Like, what was the point of it?
Maybe because...
I just didn't get it. Like, come out as Priscilla Kelly. Like, what are you hiding from? Whose idea was that? I don't know.
I don't know! Tommy Young.
Didn't make sense to me.
I guess you're kind of right.
What else happened on that MLW episode?
Oh, the Mance Warner, Jimmy Havoc.
Big bone to pick with that one.
Oh, boy.
They started the show with it. What did Myron Reed bring into the ring? What did Jimmy Havoc bring in the ring?
I thought I saw tax. I thought I saw
the quote-unquote ring board, whereas if they made the ring out of those spare boards, the first fucking bump would go through to the fucking floor.
That's your bone to pick?
No. My bone to pick is they went to Jimmy Havoc's apartment. They went all around Orlando. They even went to Full Sail University, by the way, which is kind of funny.
Did they?
Yes. They were fighting outside of Full Sail. It was pretty funny.
God, why do I hope Miss always
wrestled
the good stuff?
They had Priscilla Kelly wrestle. Did they have another match? They had the guy that teamed up with the karate guy. He was like the jiu-jitsu expert.
Doug something.
Yeah, he was a jiu-jitsu guy who teamed up with the guy wearing the gi last week that beat the Dynasty. So Jimmy Havoc and Mance Warner come back, and the board is miraculously back in the ring again, and the thumbtacks are miraculously back in the ring again. Continuity with the filming, man. That's all I want. Man. Don't do that shit until you come back. You know what I'm saying? Like, the time they spent putting that in the ring before they left, they could have easily done it when they
I
don't remember them ever mentioning.
Did they piece it together like these were matches from different days?
No, they didn't. But that doesn't make sense because they put it in and then they came back and it was kind of sick.
Yeah, wow.
That's kind of.
If
they mentioned it, I completely missed it.
I must have missed it too.
Obviously, they didn't mention it because you would have caught it. You would have.
You don't know that.
Well, all right, fair enough. Fair enough. Good point. But yeah, something like that. It was kind of. There's an awful lot of cursing on MLW. They don't need all that cursing on MLW.
Yeah, it's a big. That grinds your gears.
They don't. The cursing on commentary. I just not MLW, but like Mauro Ranallo having to say effing. It's like, no, dude, no, don't. Just don't. You don't need to say it.
They're getting out of the PG era.
There's plenty of other euphemisms that you can use. Like AEW, they say they want to say it. They say it once. I don't even like it there. But
well, I think it's where we are in cable television, where you hear cursing on a lot of different shows now.
I don't want to hear it. A wrestler says it. There was a lot of it in NXT. A wrestler says it, fine. If it's in the heat of the moment, fine. Tommaso Ciampa said one or two things that they bleeped out. I think Becky Lynch was talking shit to Shayna Baszler. They bleeped it out. Natty Neidhart's calling everybody a bitch.
Yeah.
Dude.
I heard motherfucker a bunch of times.
That's the other thing. They gave somebody from NXT the heart attack. They didn't even call it the heart attack.
See.
That's a killer, dude.
They mentioned it.
They didn't say heart attack.
Maybe they don't want. Maybe Jerry Lawler was doing commentary. Maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they didn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Choking on a Sonic, getting his clogged arteries. Terrible, terrible.
No, they mentioned it though. We talked about this in the group chat. That I noticed, like, it took a second for, I think, Michael Cole to get to saying, "Oh, that must have meant something to Natty."
Yeah, yeah,
but exactly. they
pin off of it. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't the final elimination.
No, but still, they got an elimination off of a tag team move that was established by her uncle.
No, her dad.
Father and her uncle. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Shit. Ring of Honor, more shit going around with the Women's World Champion, Kelly Klein. They're saying that she breached her contract and they will not be re-signing her. She hasn't been fired.
Yeah, she wasn't fired.
But apparently it goes into this whole thing again with Joey Mercury that she's still concussed, but they were told her to work through it. Turns out the women and Ring of Honor are only getting paid 20 grand. That came out. She asked for a raise of $4,000. They told her no. Yet they were sending her here, there, and everywhere to work while she was concussed. There's a whole lot of weird shit going on here. Whole lot of weird. I don't know what to make of it. I don't even know if anybody's got the whole story straight.
Yeah, I don't even feel comfortable, and this is going to sound lame and cheap and stupid. I don't even feel comfortable talking about it.
Well, I mean, I gotta bring it up because it's a real deal thing going on here that Kelly Klein's going to be out of a job December 31st, and apparently she's still dealing with concussion syndrome. Which is
the bigger issue.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Also,
I don't think if it wasn't a concussion thing, I don't think she'd have any problem finding another job. in wrestling.
That's the other thing. Where's she gonna? Yeah.
If it's the concussion thing, then that could hurt her.
I don't know, dude. There's
passing a physical.
There's this whole thing with Joey Mercury about tweets that he's been putting out, like exposing what's been happening. Like we heard the stories. Who was it that got hurt? Jay Lethal got hurt, and they said there was no medical personnel to help him out.
Now, was this before or after he was in Australia?
Ooh, good callback. Good callback.
Of course, also, that was Xavier Woods.
Marty Scurll apparently is working Final Battle, but that's his last night in the company as of right now, so we don't know if he's re-signing.
It's him and Flippy Doo, the mercenary versus Flamita and Bandito, right?
I think
Final
so.
Battle?
I think so.
That's his last night with the company?
Well, it's his last night under his current contract, and we don't know if he's re-signing or not yet.
That would be now, we've kind of speculated on that forever. That would be, I think, a nice little get for AEW, which is, I think everyone pretty much assumes that's where he's going. Which leads to Flip Gordon to be the next leader of the Villain Club, which I think would be great.
Whoop, whoop. Where do you think Marty Scurll shows up if he leaves?
AEW.
Yeah, good call. Good enough call. Apparently, NXT and NXT UK are going to face off at Royal Rumble weekend. For Worlds Collide 2020 at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. Kevin, they're clashing for my favorite reason of all.
What's that?
Brand supremacy, baby! Whoa!
Who cares?
Yep, who gives a fuck?
No, I mean, I don't mean that in a super disparaging way. It's like, whatever, they've done it before. It's a nice little gimmick that they do. It's fine. I don't think it's on anyone's real radar in terms of, like, promotion-wise. I don't think they ever really promote When Worlds Collide on the main shows.
Real quick for MLW news and notes, we know Filthy Tom Lawler signed a new MLW deal. He's staying after all. He says he wants to keep it filthy, so good for him, good on him. I think he's a good asset to MLW at this point. Mance Warner and Jimmy Havoc are going to be having a Prince of Darkness match at the Opera Cup. I don't know what that means. I guess, they will both be cloaked in thick black hoods in a spectacular and bizarre match where danger lurks at every corner. I'm sure there's going to be staple guns, tacks, and a whole bunch of other nonsense and gimmicks where these guys can beat the living shit out of each other again. This feud's starting to go on a little too long for me. I like Jimmy Havoc. I love me some Mance Warner, but these guys got to fucking move on at some point.
So they're going to be in, like, masks? It's going to be like a blindfold match?
I don't know. It says cloaked in thick black hoods. So maybe they're like reverse Klansmen and they're going to kill whites? I don't know. Oof.
Yeah. I'll just let you have
it. Keeping it politically correct, goddammit. Free Jim Cornette. I saw that. Oh, my God. If you get a chance, NWA Power this week. Oh, man.
Like tonight this
the
week?
The Cult of Cornette is out on fuego.
Did anyone replace? Who replaced Cornette?
No, they did a best of combo. They did a whole bunch of vignettes with Thunder Rosa. They had an interview with Melina. They had a dark, an empty studio match between question mark and one of the Brawley twins. What were the fat guys?
The Dudleys?
No, who are the two fat guys that wear black? The Dawsons.
Oh, the Dawsons.
It was an empty arena match, and if question mark loses, he has to unmask. And if the Dawson loses, they have to read Shakespeare for Aaron Stevens. Something happens. It's pretty funny. I actually watched most of it. But yeah, dude, the Cornette fans were out in force. It was pretty much Free Jim Cornette, making inappropriate references based on the joke that Cornette made. It was rough, dude. The comments were rough.
Wait, so they played on Cornette's comment with what they were saying tonight?
No. It was in the chat alongside the video. It was during the live chat. No. Cornette had appearances in the video here and there, but there was no mention of anything. Absolutely not. They were going to announce who's taking on Nick Aldis at the pay-per-view, but I didn't get that far yet because we had a show to do here.
That's right.
Real quick, I'll go through the Opera Cup stuff. Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Shinjiro Otani, Alexander Hamilton versus MJF, Timothy Thatcher against Richard Holiday.
Dude, that's fucked up, man, making the Dynasty square off against each other.
Listen, they got three people in there, so what are you going to do? And that's Brian Pillman Jr. against TJP. And, of course, the Prince of Darkness match. We also have another three-way match. Six-man. Chima, El Lindemann, and Shigehiro Airi against Contra Units, Jacob Fatu, Ikiro Kwan, and Simon Gotch. There might be more to come. I'm not even sure.
I feel like you nailed all those names perfectly.
Oh, and this Thursday, MLW Fusion is going to be free on YouTube for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, baby.
Jacob Fatu defends against Ross Von Erich. King Mo makes his debut against Ricky Martinez. Haven't seen him in a while since his fallout with the Empresaria. And Cato Brazil and Jordan Oliver, Injustice, taking on Gringo Loco and Zenshi. That should be a fucking banger of a match because those guys all tear it up.
What about Catherine Zeta-Zhang? Is she on the show?
Azinga Zanga Zoom.
Oh, all right. Because Zeta-Zhang, there was a women's match on the last MLW Fusion, too.
Well, it was Zeta-Zhang against the Spider Lady, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. We talked
weird.
About that.
I don't know.
Catherine Zeta-Zhang.
Good for Priscilla Kelly getting work there. Bad. I don't know what the fucking Spider Lady was.
I thought it was fine.
If she wrestled like Moolah and started yanking her by the hair.
I wanted to bring that up so bad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, what if it was Fab? What if it was Moolah under there?
It fatulous Moolah. It's just like a big gross woman.
Well, I mean, she's been dead for, 10 Ooh, years, so.
The corpse of Moolah coming back to wrestling.
That's right.
Kevin, I don't have a going home. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
How about Monday Night Raw with Matt Hardy making his return and jobbing to Buddy Murphy? I hate that word jobbing,
did he?
But yeah.
He jobbed to him?
Yeah, he lost.
Oh, fucking.
Buddy came out as like vintage Matt Hardy with like Hardy Boys, like 1998-99 gear.
So is this going to lead to like the rebirth of the broken Matt Hardy?
I hope so. His release the delete or free the delete has been awesome. Like 2-minute videos on YouTube, which was a going home of mine a couple weeks ago. Other than that, we don't have to really talk about Raw that much. Rey Mysterio won the U.S. title on Raw.
Did they give him a new belt? Oh, maybe he gets a new belt next week.
What about his gear?
He looked like a fucking neon skunk.
He looked like Doink the Clown. That was a Doink the Clown mask.
That there you go. I don't like the Rey Mysterio outfits.
I don't like.
I get that he's older. I get he's trying to hide certain things.
I don't mind the straps. I hate the fuzz on his mask.
I don't like the mohawk of the skunk either. I don't know.
And when he comes out to do a promo, he wears a regular mask without the skunk.
I'm going to throw it back so we can have a hot drop where we just say goodbye because I got something cool that I want to play.
Awesome.
But do you have anything that you want to plug? Anything you need to say? Any upcomings?
I definitely have shows for December. I think December, it's a little bit of ways. December 17th, I think I'll be in Morristown, New Jersey at the Horseshoe Tavern doing comedy for a Garden State Comedy. I think I have other stuff too. I just don't know. So don't worry about me.
That's fine.
Follow me on Instagram at Shining Wizards Kevin, Twitter at Kevin Garifo, Garifo, and of course follow us at Wizards Podcast.
Follow me at Big Tony Z.
Big Tony Z.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into the Twitters again. I usually have a streak where I'm like good with it for like 3 weeks and then I sort of forget about it. Although I did send NWA a notice that if they were looking for a new commentator, somebody could use a little,
Dave Destruction.
I'd go down.
Oh,
fuck him.
God.
Sorry, Dave. No offense, but if anybody's going to be making that trip to Atlanta for NWA tapings, it's going to be TONYZ.
It's going to be me.
Have very happy, healthy, and enjoyable Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners, to everybody else. Just have a good Thursday, I guess.
Is that what it is? They don't have an equivalent?
No, they don't. They don't slaughter turkeys overseas. Matter of fact, I think most of Europe, they don't even have turkeys, right? I don't even know. I've never seen or heard about turkeys anywhere but the United
Baza.
States. Baza. Baza's going to fucking stick a Marmite in his turkey. Hello. Whatever. All right, I'm going to leave you guys with a throwback from our good old friends at 2.5 Wrestlers, something that we did for them a long time ago. Say goodnight, Kevin.
I found an 8x10 of Jamie and Kevin Matthews. I found an 8x10. I don't know how I have it.
How the fuck did you get that?
I don't know. Maybe I took it from here.
Maybe you probably did. Yeah. You probably did.
I'll have to put that on the old Instagram later.
Well, like I always say that Kevin says I never say, see you next Tuesday.
I don't say that.
Don't believe everything you hear on the podcast. Most of it is made up, not true, and I get so embarrassed, but I have no way to get back at them.
Like I said before, everyone thinks it's a big fucking joke.
Yeah.
Big funny joke. And then they realize when they fucking, they're going to get 40 messages a day and they're opening up Pandora's box.
Next question. Has the wizard, Jesus, I'm sorry, Michael.
See? That's what he's saying. Listen, to all people care about.
As popular.
Right.
You know,
let's continue.
Realize after this, you know, when we start making comments like, and that's when the warlord comes in and whatever else, and push Nelson and whatever other stupid comments we made where people fucking follow suit. Now the new thing is everyone's going to say, I'm
just busting.
Oh, no, I'm just busting. I'm just busting. I'm busting. I'm busting. Oh, I'm just busting.
Oh, just man. Busting.
I'm just busting. I'm just busting.
I'm sorry, we had to come back.
Just busting. I'm just busting.
I'm busting. I'm busting.
We're gonna get people fired?
Oh, no, this is amazing.
I'm just busting.
Just busting.
Fucking
I'm just busting.
Oh, no, I'm just busting. I'm just busting.
Pat never says it.
No.
I need a Nelson. No, I'm just busting. I'm just busting.
Fucking Silva's laugh. Looped at the end is just amazing. I love that. I'm so glad I did that years ago.
It's amazing.
You know what was great? The episode of Two and a Half Wrestlers where they were supposed to originally air that. It was so fucking like
they never aired it?
They edited the shit out of it because something happened during it that Pat didn't want released. Probably with good reason.
Yeah, probably knowing where he is now.
Well, considering Pat had the mind, like, hey, we shouldn't play this. So the very end of the episode, Jay Silva thanks me for putting it together, and they said that they laughed about it, but it never aired. So it was just like, oh, we want to thank Tony from The Shining Wizards for sending that to us. And that was it.
Yeah, that's, man, how long ago was that? Like 7 years?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to date it somehow. I'd have to figure that out. But yeah, it's got to be.
It's a good thing because they're all corporate now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Except for Jay Silva.
Well, but Jay's in better shape now, so he might be thinking about making a return. Who knows?
Corporate KM, corporate Pat.
Yeah, sorry we had to interrupt that, but we were laughing too hard. We had to talk about that. Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.